and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Mr. Philip Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
WJFK. Sweet Phil. Good to hear him, isn't it?
Every day, Robbie.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Don't Do It in the No-No Spot and all the ships at sea. Hey, it's where a family of eight can eat for only $40, and it's so clean.
Ooh.
The great American, Don and Mike.
Yeah! Thank you, Robbie.
Oh, yeah!
And hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast, nationwide, still via Westwood One. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. That's why we still, every day, clever name, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we thought it'd be a good idea.
Coming to you from our home station, WJFK FM in Washington, D.C. Syndicated on Westwood 155 radio stations throughout America starting next Monday. Scratch that, make it 56.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And we have 6 million national listeners. Want to tell you some news about our New York situation in just a moment.
Very good.
But first, humbly thank you for your patronage. No thanks at all to Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Donald Monkey Boy from, and Big Daddy Mel. Here he is to my left and to your right. Layered look again for our friend Guy the Swinger. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Thanks for the floss, Buzz.
You bet.
Hi, everybody. Wednesday, February 23rd.
Almost out of this month.
And then we get to Mark.
Mark!
February 23. Phone number is 1-877-365-3636.
Well.
You know, we've not done a show yet in New York City.
No.
Yet in today's New York Post, there's a gigantic picture of us.
Yes, for all of those New Yorkers to see.
There imagine that. You know, 15 years doing the number one rated show in Washington, D.C.
Right.
I don't believe we've ever had our picture in the Washington Post.
No, I don't think we have. I mean, never like that.
However, this is a picture of us next to Howard Stern in the New York Post. The article is generally full of inaccuracies.
But it's just nice to have our picture in there.
Here we are in the New York newspaper.
That's
now, before we get to this, let me just assuade a lot of people. Let me make a lot of you listening to the show right now feel warm and fuzzy.
Good.
Yes. We announced that we will be going on WNEW FM in New York starting next Monday. That is a fact.
Yes.
We also announced that we'd be going up there a couple of days a week. That's also a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that we'd be doing a show that's taped at night and played back the next day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That we won't be doing.
No, there is a new game plan in place.
Mm. Frankly, we thought about things, and we thought if anybody deserves to be tape delayed at this point, it's the good people of New York who have not supported this show because they've never heard this show.
That's fair. One of the things our listeners unless we're going to be going through Rudy's underwear drawer, is they like live. They like us to
immediacy.
They like us to be here. They like us, you know, because we take so many phone calls, it's very important for us to be here.
So we came up with a compromise with the people from WNEW and the people from CBS that the show will be heard every night from 7 to 11:30 on WNEW, and we will still be going to New York 2 days a week to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
But you listening to the radio right now, wherever you are, you'll hear us live every single day.
Yay. Absolutely.
There will be no tape delay. There will be no best of days.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, it's live. The only difference is that a couple of days a week, you're going to hear what we're doing up in New York.
Yes, the show will originate from New York City, but it will be live 3 till 7:30 Eastern time.
Noon to 4 on the West Coast, same time as you're hearing now, same phone number.
Right.
Everybody will still be able to call, participate, hear everything live. The only people who get a taped show will be the people in New York. And eventually the people in New York will wise up and they'll just put us on live and we'll have one big seamless network.
Yay. That's what we're looking for, and that's the ultimate plan. And so I think that that works out best for everybody, ourselves included. We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to getting up there to New York, getting familiar with our surroundings up there, and bringing people in from New York City. But it should be mentioned that we are going to be doing the show live, and this is also the home base. This will always be the home base.
Yeah, we'll never forget that. I mean, there were some people. I had to be awakened to that fact. There were some people in the station, some people in the network that were concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, you go, what are you selling out? We said, selling out? You know, we've always wanted a chance to go to New York. But then when we actually stopped and thought about it, we go, you know what? We wouldn't have the chance to be on in New York if it wasn't for the people in D.C. and in Sacramento and in Wichita and in Baltimore.
Sure.
So no reason that you guys who are listening now should get anything other than a live show every day. So that's what you'll get, and the people in New York will get a tape show, and they'll like it. God damn it!
Of course they will.
They'll embrace it.
Yeah, right.
And that's that. And then they, you know, it's the best of both worlds because then the people from New York are happy, the station are happy, we're up there,
right.
We meet the, you know, the New Yorkers, we have the Carson Daly's on the show,
right.
And you know, the One Life to Live, and we do all the New York experience, but we still do the same basic show every day at the same time, and you get to call and you get to hear us vent, and that's a good compromise, I think.
It's going to be a live show. What you can look forward to is, you know, going up there. We're going to have access to a lot more folks that are going to be on the show, and it should be a lot of fun and very entertaining. So I think that it's a win-win, and we're very excited about it, and I like this plan, and I hope that I hope against hope that this plan stays in place.
This will.
That's good.
This is, Mike, this is the final, this is
I'm
our
not
final
calling,
answer.
I'm not calling people anymore to tell them things.
Well, just because you called, your mommy.
Yeah, I called mommy, and I said, mommy, we'll be able to have lunch together because, you know, we're going to be doing the show. And now I'm going to have to
just have dinner with mommy.
Oh, it's too late for mommy. Mommy's going to be 80 in April. Mommy can't stay.
Fly mommy into the city.
Fly
mommy into the city. Sure.
Fly mommy in.
We'll get her a room.
Mommy doesn't like airports.
Oh, really? I wonder, is that where her son gets it from?
No, mommy will fly anywhere, actually. Ah. To be honest with you, her son is Johnny Fear of flying.
So anyway, that's the good news. And I know there had been some concern that, you know, people listening to us every day at this time who have supported us would not be getting the live show, and you will.
Right.
And we're excited to be on in New York, and we're excited to be going up there, and it's a whole new experience. So today, in the New York Post, you know, we're always the last to know.
Yeah, of course we are.
I got friends who work in New York, and this morning I received a phone call from a disc jockey friend of mine who was doing a show, as a matter of fact, playing a record. Called me up on the speakerphone. Hey, boy! Your picture's in the New York Post! I said, really? Why is that? He says you're going on against Howard Stern.
Oh, dear,
I don't,
dear.
I don't think that's going to happen. So I got a hold of the newspaper, and it says, is WNEW gunning for Stern? That is the headline. And it has a picture of Howard Stern, and right next to it, a picture of us.
Uh-huh.
And it says, New Talk Station WNEW-FM appears to be preparing to challenge the formidable Howard Stern. All signs point to a major battle for radio's most lucrative time period, morning drive, in spite of the strife it could cause within the close-knit CBS family.
Oh, yeah, we're just big cousins and uncles here.
As the New York Post reported exclusively last week, WNEW is bringing in the raunchy, top-rated team of Don and Mike from its Washington, D.C. sister station.
That's you. Who says we're raunchy?
CBS execs refuse to reveal the time slot they'll get. Well, I think we've announced that.
Yeah,
it's going to be 7 to 11:30 p.m.
Right.
Although it's widely speculated the duo will be parked initially in the evenings, it is unlikely that CBS would leave such a high-powered and expensive team there for long.
Huh.
WNEW's current cellar-dwelling morning man, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Let me see. Then it says, if CBS puts Howard Stern head-to-head with Don and Mike, Stern could deliver on threats he's made in the past to bolt and set up his own syndication unit. Blah, blah, goes on and goes on and goes on. The point is, we're not going to do the morning show. If we were going to do a morning show in New York, that would mean we couldn't go up there 2 days a week.
No. Right.
If you want to do a morning show in New York, you got to live in New York.
Absolutely.
And we're not doing that.
No way.
I mean, my kid's in school. He's got 3 more years. Mike's got 2 daughters just getting into school.
Mm-hmm.
We're not moving.
No, we're not. And, you know, that it was an interesting, you know, I think that the way we look at this is it's very nice for our pictures to be in the paper, to let everybody know that we are coming to New York, which is true. But once you get by that, you know, the gist of the story is
That's all right. That's
not accurate. The accurate part is that we're going to be on in the evenings to start.
Right.
That's the way it's going to be.
And we've made no secret about the fact that we would like the show, you know, in pretty quick order just to be moved to the 3 to 7 slot.
It's what we want. We know we can do well there, and we're very excited about that. That's our ultimate goal, and we certainly hope that works out for us. Let me put it to you this way. If we're on at nighttime in New York, and you're about to celebrate Christmas, we're not going to be real happy, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, let me put it to you that way.
Okay, but that's a long ways away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 10 months away, and, you know, as for right now, the situation with nighttime radio in New York, there's nothing going on.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've got nowhere to go but up. The station has a 0.2 rating, which means they have 0.2% of the audience.
Yeah, Blatarsky's grade point average there.
Which is virtually WNBL.
Right.
Nobody listening.
Absolutely.
So that's great. We're very happy that we're going to be on in New York starting next Monday. We'll be splitting our time between there and here, but you'll hear us at the same time every day doing a live show. So nobody gets gypped.
Wonderful.
That's great news. And thank God they ran a semi-recent photo in the newspaper, the New York Post.
Didn't look bad, actually.
It
really
good.
Did. In that size, and you know, they love their pictures
and
in the New York Post. They really do.
Let's face it. With the guy we're sharing the space with?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We definitely win the handsome contest. I mean, with the three guys who have their pictures here in the New York Post?
No doubt. Couldn't agree with you more.
We're the beauty contest winners.
Absolutely.
So that's very exciting.
And yeah, it is.
I guess today's the day that, you know, they're walking around with their heads, like chickens with their heads cut off at WNEW, because, of course, Ken Stevens, our fantastic leader.
Man fearing confrontation of any kind.
Let me tell you how this all played out. He told me originally, before Christmas, that he's getting this job at WNEW, and that he was going to be bringing us on. Lickety-split. I said, okay, great. So that's now over 2 months ago.
Right.
So we've been building towards this, and we've known this for a long time. And we've kept quiet about it, and then we got the start date of February 28th. So we said, okay, we're going to announce that on February 28th. Then it leaked out to the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not through us.
No. Right, somebody else. We did not leak that.
So it got leaked to the newspapers, and then it got leaked to the trade papers, the industry papers. And then we went on the air, and we announced it. And yesterday, at 5:45, during a commercial set, Ken sticks his head in here and he goes, hey, listen, how would you feel about waiting one more week?
That's so typical.
To go on to New York? And I said, why? What's the point? It's just a week.
Mm-hmm.
I just need a week to move out the disc jockey who's there now, who apparently doesn't know he's going to be fired.
Well.
I said, well, wait, now hold on. The disc jockey doesn't know he's going to be fired, but it's in the New York Post.
And I thought the other guy, the other gerbil, the gerbil himself, was supposed to take care of that.
Yeah, well, there's miscommunication between Jeremy the gerbil and Ken Stalin.
Man, oh man.
So they've had to bite that bullet today.
Ah.
They've had to have a fantastic staff meeting at WNEW.
Very, very good.
Tell them all of the changes happening there.
Looking forward to going up there and saying hi to everybody.
You know what that means when we get up there? We're going to have an entire new radio station full of people to interview.
Absolutely.
People who are going to be very, very scared for their jobs, which in my experience makes for great radio.
Sure. You know, you get the people that are, treading on very thin ice, that are very tentative, very timid, that you never know what they're going to say. Then you get the people that are just to hell with it all.
Right.
And those are the people I really like to talk to.
Ken, as a matter of fact, part of my conversation with Ken today was involved putting people from the station on the air.
Right.
He says, do you want to do that? I said, oh, yes.
Absolutely.
He said, well, they have no experience with that. I said, well, you know
my
what?
My God, doesn't he know what the core of material on this show has been for years?
He said, no. The people here have no experience being on the air.
Bring us your odd, your idiosyncratic, your people that are totally off the wall.
The great unwashed. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know the
bring us your salespeople. Bring us your engineers. Bring us your receptionists.
Hello, we're Don and Mike. How are you?
Bring us your oldest salesperson.
Right.
There you go. Those are the people that we want to meet.
Absolutely.
Those are the people who will tell us what New York is really about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That and the fact that we're going to be on the third floor and we're going to be able to stick a microphone out the window to talk to people.
Hello!
Hey, so anyway, that's what's happening, and it's next Monday, and we're very excited. Okay, on today's show, we're jam-packed, of course. The Grammys, or as I like calling them, the Goddammies. Who cares about the Goddammies? They're on tonight.
You're not looking forward to the tribute to Elton John?
No, I will be watching instead of the Goddammies. I'm going to be watching Robbie Knievel.
Sure. Robbie Knievel, who's going to be jumping over the moving train coming right at him.
It's a ripoff, though, and I'll tell you why. That originally he was supposed to jump over the train so that, like, if the train is going, he was going to be going parallel with the train and actually jump over it.
Mm.
What they've decided is that's too dangerous. So now it's going to be like in a four-way stop where the train's going to be going this way.
Oh, I've seen that before.
And he's going to be going this way to make, like, an X marks the spot.
I've seen that before. That's been done by another jumper.
See, I thought he was going to go head-on toward the train.
I thought he set him right for them to change it.
They will not allow him to do that. Now he's going to be doing something that basically you could do with a bicycle.
Yeah.
You know, you could, if you got a nice head start, you could ride a bicycle and jump over a train.
Unless the only way that you would have a degree of difficulty is if the train is close to the landing area. So, you know what I'm saying? But if he's just jumping over, if the train is going to be in the center of his jump.
And that the way it's been explained to me, that's what they're doing. And they won't let him jump head on in a train. This is
going
to happen.
I thought it was going to be the train going, nee. And then he goes, wee, and he jumps over.
And they're still saying this afternoon, the train's supposed to plow into the ramp that's facing the oncoming train.
I'm telling you, Buzz.
Huh.
I'm positive.
Well, I must know this because I want to know what the truth is about this.
I'm telling you the truth. The truth is that the people from Texas, this is going to happen somewhere in Texas. The local people got together. They got an ordinance that says you can't do this.
Palestine, Texas.
Right.
Right. So,
right.
What, you know, is this the late... When did you hear it last?
I don't know. About 1 o'clock today.
1 o'clock. All right.
On the CNN? On the cable?
So they basically ruined the stunt. I mean, it's not any big deal now.
When they did the story, they said more bad news for Fox.
Right.
And they went into a whole thing about how the millionaire, marry a millionaire, is a whole
big... You see that guy in Dateline last night?
Oh, did I?
You see that weasel, that lizard man, that incredible scummy guy?
Oh, we have a guest today on the show. We have two millionaire, marry a millionaire related guest today.
Very good.
First, we have Paul Walton.
Uh-huh. Paul Walton!
Who was not chosen, but was featured last night on Entertainment Tonight.
Paul Walton, who will now take full credit for saying no to these people.
And we also have, from an unspecified city, I've been sworn to silence, one of the millionaire's best friends.
Ah,
who will tell us what a total load or what a total loser this guy is.
Yeah, he said some things on that show. I the guy is totally out of touch.
They kept all the great stuff on that Dateline interview to the last segment.
They did.
And in the last segment, that's when they asked him, what about when you threatened to kill your girlfriend? And he said, well, have you never said to anybody,
I'll kill you?
And I sat there, you know what? No, I mean, I've said it on the radio, but there's a difference between doing a radio show and really sitting down with someone and looking them in the face and saying,
right.
I'll kill you.
That, the very fact that he said that demonstrates to me that he has very little, you know, he's not in touch with his emotions. I mean, he said, have you ever said that to somebody? Well, that's a big deal. And he didn't seem to think of it.
It was like nothing. It was like saying, pass the potatoes. Have you never said pass the potatoes?
You know, the way it is, like in traffic or something, man, I could kill that guy. You know what I mean? But I mean, if you're saying to somebody, I will kill you.
Yeah,
hey, I got news for you, lizard man. You know, that's pretty heavy duty.
And then his other big saving grace was that, well, he didn't really kill her. He just let the air out of her tires.
Right, right, exactly, exactly.
It was an awful interview. It could not have portrayed this guy, the millionaire, in a worse light.
Well, also that head, that oversized head, that cranium with the skin stretched across his skull. He is not a pleasant man to look at by any stretch of the imagination.
And then I saw her on Good Morning America. Did you see her this morning?
No, and I was like, you know what? The Dateline thing last night, I was waiting for her. I didn't think it was a good piece. I didn't think that they did a good report because they weren't thorough enough. What, she showed up on Good Morning America?
Yeah, she's already getting it annulled.
She is.
Yeah. Yeah. They never consummated the marriage.
She didn't like the guy.
No, she doesn't care
for
him at all.
If they went on the honeymoon together, even, you know, they were having dinners together, they were having lunches together, I bet she didn't dig the guy.
I tend to believe what she says. She said she felt horrible at the time that when she was standing there on stage, she couldn't believe that she did it and she didn't want to go through with it. When they played back the tape this morning on Good Morning America, there was kind of a grimace on her face as he leaned toward her to kiss
the
bride.
Well, wouldn't you grimace? Well, lizard?
He unhinges his jaw to give her the kiss, and she obviously was almost pushing him away. Looked like Bo and Nora.
I'll agree with you there, Mike.
It did. It really did.
It certainly didn't look like Rusty and Christine, but it did look like Bo and Nora. So this whole millionaire thing is still just careening out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This schmuck, there is no way he's going to get out from under this.
Yeah, and you know, here's what makes me laugh about all this. When you hear about Fox, you know, the reality programming, you know, it's going to be a long time before... Oh, that is so untrue. They'll have the next car wreck type programming on within 2 months.
Yeah, and I wish they'd just come clean with that. I mean, let's face it, nobody expects great things from the Fox network.
Right.
When you think Fox, you think feces. When you think Fox, you think cops.
Absolutely.
When you think cops...
When good pets go bad.
Yeah, right. It's like cops, train wrecks, people peeing on Chinese food, stalkers, murderers, hidden cameras.
Right.
That's the Fox network.
That's what it's all about, and you know they're going to have more of this. They can't argue with the fact that they were so stupid that they didn't do a thorough background check on this guy. And in the age of the internet, don't you think that, you know, if a guy within, 20 minutes could get this information, don't you think they should have been a little more thorough at that show.
I think, you know, Fox can't put out real shows. They're not capable of it. They're best at making crap. And we like watching crap.
We do, and there's you know, we've got a voracious appetite for it, and I think you're going to see more of it. I really do. I think you're going to see more of that type. It's as open as an imagination.
So let me tell you the trap that we have set for this Ricky Ritardo, the guy who is the millionaire.
Yes.
Yesterday, I told you that when I was watching the TV show Extra, that they had a girl from Canada. And this is the new thing they've got now.
Right.
Apparently, this guy has got like a million girlfriends.
Sure.
All of them ugly.
Oh, yeah. The one, do you see the one last night that was supposedly he said he was in love
with? The one with the dark hair?
Yeah.
So they had this girl with bad, frizzied out, permed hair from Canada. This is as quickly as 2 weeks ago, as late as 2 weeks ago, he had been emailing her and calling her and asking her out. He met her in an online date room.
Right.
And they had on the screen, she was pulling up his mail, and they had his email address on the screen. So somebody actually taped that show, gave us that email address. What we did is we took one of our phony AOL accounts, and we made up a name, and we made up a profile. And we sent him an email.
Right.
And now we're going to wait and see if he answers.
See if he responds to it.
We sent him an email saying that we're a real hot-looking blonde, big boobs. And we think that he got a raw deal.
Sure.
And that we believe he's a sweet guy. And
I really know how wonderful and beautiful you are.
How about please contacting us? That we don't care about his money. We just think he's a real sweet guy.
We just want to have sex with you. We want to have sex with you. You know, do you get the impression that from the very beginning, those two, there really was no chemistry? And but here's what I don't get about it. And this applies to the woman as well. As last night, he said the same thing. You know, if you think you'll be married within the year, not likely. And then she says it's getting annulled. You know, why? Why even do this?
Well, he did it on both sides. He did it because he's an aspiring stand-up comedian.
Yeah, he did it for exposure. What did she do it for? I mean, if she felt that way...
She's a dumb bim. Like all of the dumb bim, like the 50 dumb bims that they had lined up for this contest.
She says she did it for a lark, for the free vacation, and for the chance to wave at her family on TV. That's what she said this morning.
Like I
said, Morning America.
She's a dumb bim. They were all dumb bims.
You know, the thing is that they showed on that piece last night on Dateline, they showed the interview with some of the people that say, I'm really worried about her now. You know, it's the instantaneous TV, you know, the response. One of the ladies who went, boy, I'm so glad it wasn't me.
Oh, yeah, God, one of the bims who would have wet her pants to be picked to be married to this guy.
Yeah, but now that the news story's out, you know, with the restraining order, I really hope she's okay.
God. What, have you never said that you'd like to kill somebody? He says that with a straight face. And then they showed
the air out of his tires.
Then they showed his Jim Rockford shack that he lives in again.
Absolutely. I live beneath my means. Is that so wrong? I installed my own toilet last week.
I'm a multimillionaire. I drive a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with that?
Yeah, really. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, show me the ledger that says he's a multimillionaire.
Right. Well, it was interesting watching. And the story just refuses to go away.
Right. Great viewing.
So in just a moment, we're going to have his friend Barry? Barry Colon.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Any relation to Harry Colon?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Is that how you pronounce it, Rob? Is that the pronunciation? Barry Colon.
Barry Colon.
Who is Rick Rockwell's lifelong friend.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, he's such a lifelong friend, he's ready to sell him out on this show. And we will get to that in just a moment. The Grammy Awards, as we mentioned, are on tonight, the same time as the Robbie Knievel Jump.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie O'Donnell is your host tonight for the Grammy Awards.
Yeah, boo.
Which can't suck enough.
That just ruins it for me. That really does. I mean, I think that it was a pretty good year for music, and I'd actually like to look in on the Grammys, but when Ro is up there, big fat Rosie, it just takes it out of it for me.
She has got a whole bunch of jokes. Did you read their jokes in the newspaper?
No, I didn't know.
Okay, she's not sure which quips she'll use on tonight's show, but here's some of her sample jokes. This Latin thing is out of control. You know who just got a 3-record deal? That Cuban kid. What's his name? Elian Gonzalez?
Oh, God.
Right. Yeah. She ponders if that joke is too mean to do on TV.
Oh, God.
Let me see. Puffy Combs, Jennifer Lopez. She won't make jokes about that because Jennifer Lopez has begged her not to.
Oh, God.
Whitney Houston.
You know, it's nice. You don't want to make jokes about her, but you're going to tell the world in the newspaper that she begged you not to make jokes about it.
She has a joke about Whitney Houston. You know, Whitney Houston was caught with pot in a Honolulu airport.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to say aloha to Whitney Houston.
God, big night.
Let me see. Then she's going to follow that up with
saying, a new phenomenon, incidentally, where you print like your used or your wasted material in the newspaper.
She's going to follow that up after she says aloha. She's going to say, but actually, you know, it's not so odd that Whitney Houston was searched. I myself was searched at LAX. They searched my backpack and they found M&M's.
Didn't see that one coming, bro.
And as for Cher, here's her joke about Cher.
Mm-hmm.
Cher's been around so long, she calls everybody Sonny now.
What a bang!
I mean, listen, I'm not writing these jokes, I'm not telling these jokes. But if someone came to me with these jokes,
right,
to quote that millionaire guy, I might have to say to them, I could kill you.
I'd kill you.
I could kill you. How can you? How could you possibly?
Just remember the millionaire guy when you're talking about it, not I could. I'll
kill you.
I will kill you.
These are the jokes, I guess, the ones that she's thinking about cutting out of the
right.
show tonight, the Grammy show. That'd be a good idea, Ro.
I just hope she's got a plunging neckline so we can see that incredible
yes.
bust.
Oh, Ro O'Donnell has the biggest pancake boobs in the world.
Yeah, really?
There is no chance. There is not a push-up bra in the world that can solve what's going on inside that sweater.
No, I don't know where you'd start the push-up. You know, if she was wearing a push-up, what do you push up? You know, how do you configure it to actually make it look like you've got a woman's body?
I'd like to see what Rosie O'Donnell looks like naked. Not because I'd be turned on, but because I'm curious.
I think she'd probably look a little bit like a heavier Nathan Lane. I really do. A fatter right. Nathan Lane. I think that would be the body problem.
I think you could get a really good simulation if you buy the game Operation.
Yeah. Remove wrenched ankle.
Ha, ha, ha.
You'll remember that.
Me too.
There's, you know, one time about great advertising, something you remember for 30 years.
That great game Operation. Mm-hmm. But you don't have any more information about that Robbie Knievel thing? Other than what I just told you?
Not other than what we just discussed, but I'm still looking.
Well, when did your story break?
I was trying to check that on AP. It came across late this morning on AP, so midday, I guess.
So Don's is fresher.
It could be.
Right. Newshound.
Fresh.
Fresh news. Well, I'll be, either way.
I'd love to see, I mean.
I'll be watching it tonight because I won't watch the Grammys.
I'm totally bummed out about that, though, because the only thing that I saw about that was that he was going to race towards this train head on. And if they're not doing it that way, what is the point? There is no point.
Well, let me see what it says in the paper. It says, jump over. Now, see, in today's Fox.
Yeah.
On the USA Today Fox, it says, jump over a speeding locomotive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's all depending, you know, he is obviously going to jump over a speeding locomotive. It all depends on what direction the train is going.
Now, how do you string that out into an hour? I mean, I understand when he did this Grand Canyon thing, when they had to...
You got Mark, whatever his name is, going, well, here's the deal. The train will be coming at approximately 100 miles per hour. Robbie Knievel's speed at the time of liftoff. Let's go over to Ron Pitts. Ron Pitts is standing at the jump site. Ron, there's nervousness here because the wind has come up.
Exactly. They're going to play on the weather as they did last time.
Do you think there's a chance they're going to do like the day before where they have one of those crash test dummies?
Oh, yeah. that would be great.
This is what could happen to Robbie if everything goes bad.
Let's put our dummy on top of the motorcycle and see what happens when he comes a little bit short and hits the back of the speeding train.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. What's going on, man?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm with you guys in Portland, Oregon. Hey, guy.
Right on.
Hi, guy.
This Evil Knievel thing, the Roddy Knievel, whatever the hell his name is.
Robbie Knievel.
Yeah.
Roddy Knievel. That's the other guy that goes, hey. I'm going to jump over this train.
Right, what about Robbie Knievel?
Okay, what it is, they got a ramp on the tracks. The train is coming at him. He goes over the ramp. The train smashes the ramp. And then he lands on the side of the tracks. Is what happened.
That's what I'd heard.
Over the top of the train.
Well, I heard as late as 1 o'clock today that the people in Texas won't allow that. Hmm. That there's a local ordinance that will not allow him to do that. They've had to modify the jump.
Well, can't he find a train line that's owned by American Indians?
Yeah.
Native Americans?
That's right, because he's a big fan of the Indians.
Well, do you remember they told him he couldn't do it, so he went to the reservation.
Right,
remember? That was the part of the canyon that he was allowed
to. They had him dress up in that Elvis Indian suit that he was wearing.
He'll have to find the Native American train line.
Hey, guys, I also have another tip on this Rick Rockwell guy. The general manager out in Portland, Oregon, J.J. McKay, she actually used to date this guy, and she's been talking about it over the airwaves.
Oh, we got to talk to her.
You mean the general manager of our station in Portland used to date Rick Rockwell?
The very sexy,
she's been bragging about it, too.
The very sexed up J.J. McKay.
Are you kidding?
Mm.
We'll have to get her on the show.
Jeez. Definitely.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, does she have a regular show there?
Well, we hung up.
Yeah, I think she does the morning show.
She's the one who wrote that great article.
Well,
about
that's
you guys.
Dangerous, though, if you have a general manager who's also a disc jockey.
Oh, yeah, that scares me.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
I love you guys.
No, love you more, my friend.
I just called to say thank God you're not going to be giving us any tape delay. I love you. We need you live.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
No problem. It's
calling
all,
from D.C., by the way.
It's all worked out.
Don't ever leave us.
Listen, we're not leaving. But
don't scare me like that.
Keep in mind, 2 days a week we'll be in New York.
I know, but just, we need you live. That's fine. Go to New York.
You got it.
That's good for you, but don't threaten to leave me ever again.
Okay. Thank you, my friend. All right, thank you.
You're frightened them.
And there's some people are nutty about that.
That's right.
Man.
They're crazy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Batsa and the Gagutsa is your...
You said that? Grandpa. My grandpa said, you're Batsa and the Gagutsa.
Batsa and the Gagutsa.
Crazy in the head. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, turn your radio down, please.
All right.
Challenge listener. First one of the day, ladies and gentlemen. The first challenged individual we have here.
I'm sorry, I can't wait.
Hello, Jesse.
Yes.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, some local guys, and I'm here in Sacramento, and some DJs in the morning interviewed Robbie Knievel yesterday morning.
Sorry.
Disqualified.
Yeah. Immediately disqualified.
Challenged, and then a rule breaker.
You know how self-centered we are.
We don't talk about other... If you want to get on this radio program, what you do not say is, I was listening to another radio show.
Right, that's immediate disqualification.
The way it works.
Immediate sterilization. Hello, Don and Mike show.
We'll kill you. It's mandatory sterilization.
Hello.
Oops, that was the wrong line.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Oh, hello there. This is Elvis Knievel. I'm going to jump that train.
It's mandatory sterilization by wood-burning tool. That's the way it's used. That's what we use.
All right, is there somebody who has real information about this, or we just got every idiot in the world calling us right now?
Did we interview, didn't we? That really came out as,
did we?
Fitty.
William? That's all the words you said like that. William and Fitty and Fitty. Did we
interview...
Is that your gay?
Did we interview Robbie Knievel a short time ago? Didn't we speak to him prior, or was it was there only one interview that we did when he came into the studio? Why do I think we talked to him on the phone?
We had... 10 years ago, we had Ebel Knievel and Robbie Knievel in the studio.
And we've never spoken with Robbie Knievel.
I don't think we've spoken with Robbie Knievel. I don't think so.
Rob, chime right in if you know. I mean, I don't... Okay.
I don't remember that we did, Mike.
Really? I somehow thought we had him on the phone or something.
They're both on that tape that say they never listened to the show.
Yeah, I think Robbie Knievel is somebody I'd love to talk to when they're trying to promote these jumps. I'd like to talk to the guy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, that train wreck thing or train jump thing's been done by a stunt guy before already, where he went head on with it and landed off to the side already.
Pardon me?
If you take guy and thing out of this man's vocabulary, what you will get is...
What? Try it again.
There is a stuntman show I was watching on TV not too long ago.
There is a certain... Oh, hold on. Hold. There's a certain...
Stuntman already.
Hold on. There was a certain what?
There is a stunt show on TV.
There was a what show?
That,
a stunt show.
Oh, a stunt show. Stunt okay. Show. A stunt show.
Yeah, they showed that being done already where the guy was going head on with the train.
Yeah, I said that.
The train crashed into the ramp and he landed off to the side.
I remember that. They actually had a stunt show, and I believe that stunt that Robbie Knievel is attempting has been done before.
Oh.
But Robbie Knievel being Robbie Knievel is going to make it more dangerous. You know?
VFD, unless these people from Texas don't let him do it.
Like in the back, the very back, the caboose of the train, giant metal hook.
I love Don Muncher.
Hey, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
This is the Phil E, better known now in the 2000s as the Phil Dog.
Phil Dog.
What's Phil Dog?
This is Phil E, man.
Hey, Phil E.
What up, Phil Dog?
For the new millennium, I'm Phil Dog.
Phil Dog.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil Dog.
You know what I've always wanted to do with Phil Dog?
What's up, Joe?
Hello, Philip.
Hey, what's up? All right, I'll let that one go. What's up, Don, Mike, and the good buzz, and Robbie,
Hey, Phil, look. You know what Phil does better that I like better than anything else? Talk white, Phil.
Hey, look, I just wanted to convey a that I really want to know. Yo, Don.
Yes, Phil.
Look, y'all remember when y'all had that card trick? Now, look, I want to tell you the secret, but I want to tell you off the air to keep it for y'all.
What card trick?
Remember the card trick that y'all was trying to figure out that every time it was a mind game y'all had?
on the show one day. Y'all trying to figure
Phil,
it out.
How long ago was this, Phil?
It's about a month ago or two.
Oh, Phil, you're breaking a rule.
Now, Jesus, man, my bad. But I just got it on my computer. And
Phil,
ever forward.
Just give us
my
another.
Bad. Well, anyway, it was a good excuse to say Happy New Year to all of y'all. You know what I mean?
What's up with that,
man?
Oh, listen,
I'm
Eric
really
is
trying to look forward to
it. I want to tell you something. Phil, hold on for a second. Eric is gone.
What? Oh, yeah, Toya's in there.
I bet you have not met lovely Toya yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I would love to indulge on her, should I say, vagina.
I'm sorry. I had to hang up with
that
dog.
Is now Phil Dog.
That were two G's, do you think?
Yes, I'm sure, like Snoop.
Must be.
Hello, Don, on my show. Hello?
Dynamite.
Yeah, turn that radio down, please.
Okay.
All right.
Big Knob, turn it to the left.
How you guys doing?
Good man. Take direction well. What can we do for you?
I just want to let you guys know, congratulations for going to the big time up in New York.
Right on.
Right on. You guys go up there and screw Washington, D.C. Go to New York and give them hell.
How would we be screwing Washington, D.C.?
Just screw them, period. Go to the big time.
No, we...
New York's where it's at.
We like all the cities we're on in, and this is our home base, Washington, D.C. We would do nothing to screw Washington.
Well, you're not screwing them, but you're still going to the big time. That's where the money's at, and that's where you need to go.
Really?
Thank you for the advice.
Sound advice.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Look.
Just remember, he's the individual that took 5 minutes to turn his radio down.
Telling us where the big time is.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I'm Jack Cassidy. Pie Svechwal.
Jack Cassidy. I'm Jack Cassidy.
God, I love the Big Apple, Don and Mike. You're going to love it. Oh, I can remember many a night sitting at the tavern on the green with a romantic dinner with a young fellow, reaching under the table, tugging on his tallywanger, saying, let's go to Grand Central Station and let me blow your whistle. Jack Cassidy. Pie Cassidy.
Jack Cassidy, bisexual.
Jack Cassidy.
I'll give you credit. You're keeping that alive.
Sure.
You alone are keeping that alive. We had moved past that. Can you hear the whistle blow?
Hello,
Mike Joe. Hello. Oh, this guy. Rob Spiewak approached his ham and cheese sandwich.
Once again taking too large a bite, the air was cut off in his throat, and he struggled for his own survival.
And then he was faced with a perplexing dilemma. Spit out the food, or attempt to swallow it. He decided, as always, swallow.
But it was a difficult process, and Rob was unable to get the ham sandwich past his windpipe. And sadly, he died, but he came back to life.
As Rob lay on the ground, his face turning blue, two words kept coming into his mind. Mama Cass. Oh, please, Lord, don't let me die like Mama Cass, said Rob Spiewak.
How could it be? A ham sandwich that has killed me, like the great folk singer, Cass Elliot.
Rob thought, I remember.
It's over. We ran
Hold
out.
Hold on. No, I wasn't running out yet.
I know. I was ready to keep going.
Me too.
It was the saga of Rob dying on the ham sandwich.
But then the guy's done. He's
with
out.
Jack Cassidy on the whistle.
He's done with the flute. Hello, last call. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Jimbo. Hello. I have no idea what that was.
You sold out. You sold out. You sold out.
Someone was upset.
I don't know what they're upset about. F-U.
F-U, F-ball.
What do you think about that?
Right.
Well, let's take one more. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I have an update on the Robbie Knievel jump.
Yeah, what's the update?
He's actually just going to ride up to the railroad crossing and let the train call and then drive across.
What, you incredibly high-energy individual, did you just say?
Do what?
All right, thank you.
Right. Not only a bad cell phone, but a bad person talking on it. He's going to ride up the interstate. You know,
click, click, click.
You know, train coming real fast. You know,
click, going click, click, click.
Wrong direction. You know, dangerous before, now be old wussy.
Click, click, click. Don't have any touch tones right there. Let's try to give away up to 10 $1,000.
All right.
Click, click, click.
I figured out what would make it the ultimate danger. You actually put the ramp on the side as the train goes by, and then you jump as the train is moving forward down the tracks, and you try to land on the train as it's moving.
That would be a good stunt.
Now, sure. then I'm watching. And also, great probability of death.
Our phone number, 1-877-365-3636. Call the Ebony Queen,
who is
actually a Phil Dog is in love with Toya.
The lovely Toya.
Call her right now, 1-877-365-3636. Call her 100, gets a shot at up to 10 grand.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Hello, Wisconsin.
Yay!
If you live in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, hey there.
Local time, just about 3 o'clock. You hear the show every day on WNFL. Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Listen, honey. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Now, I owe you one.
You do?
Yeah. Yes. Because you just went out and met the general manager and the program director from that station I just mentioned in Green Bay. Right.
Very nice gentleman.
Yeah. Frankly, I've had enough meetings this week.
Yeah, you do most of them. I do them. You know, that was a real brief one. I mean, you do the ones where you have to really sit down and talk for a while.
Charlie Broyhill came in and said, the guys from the Green Bay station are here. They want to say hello.
I know.
I said, no way.
And I ran out and sprinted out there. And,
did.
And very, very nice gentlemen. Happy to be here. They seem very...
What are they doing here?
Probably doing what they do when they come in. Don't they come in like to learn how to sell this show to their advertising community?
I guess right. So.
For the advertisers where you go into, you know, Ma and Pa's, like a hot tub shop, and they say, I'm not going to advertise with that filth, that slut. No way.
What did they say to you? What was the conversation like?
I said, hi, how you doing? How are things in Green Bay? I said, you know, the only thing I remember about what we did with Green Bay was the one time we called the guy that bought the $34,000 Packer tractor. Which was really what I remembered about Green Bay. And they seemed very, very nice.
They told me they were very charged about having the show and the Green Bay.
That on his own. He went buzzing, met them on his own.
Buzz.
Yes, not allowed to talk to them.
Okay. We had that conversation earlier this week about the newspaper guy that called you.
Right.
Same thing with any station manager.
Right. Well, I'm very polite, but
you're just not allowed to talk to them.
I don't say anything of substance.
You just, please, Buzz.
All right.
No contact. Although I do have your new copy of Secure Retirement Magazine.
Oh, excellent. Good. Hang on to that for me.
Somebody actually signed Buzz up for a subscription.
Well, get it over here.
The Magazine for Mature Americans.
Because, you know, I'm thinking along those lines.
Secure Retirement. Help for hospice. Getting online, good. Prescription pullouts.
Oh, getting online. Dog ear that for me.
I can't think of a funnier title for a magazine. Secure Retirement. And all the stuff in here, Buzz, is stuff that you'd love. Like, look at all the ads for the Rascal. You
oh,
know, that
yes.
Little, that yeah. little motorized
oh, I want
scooter.
One. I'd love to have the Rascal.
Sure. Hearing aids.
Mm-hmm.
Portable oxygen maker.
And some shoes that I think I've seen you wear on the very back page, Buzz. Casuals.
Wait a minute. You can make,
Dr. Scholl's casuals.
You can make your own oxygen? Portable.
Cool.
Portable oxygen maker,
wow.
Automobile, RV, in-home use, 24-hour emergency service. Oh, Buzz, how about this?
Huh?
Discount surgical stockings.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to need those. I have some, I think, at home, actually, still. But
that you keep.
You're sure, forever and ever.
For the summer. Let me see. And there's, of course, the page after page of the hearing aids.
Right.
Special shoes. And you're right about the back cover, Mike. Dr. Scholl's men's featherlight casuals.
Casuals
right.
with the Velcro strip, so you don't have to go through the pain and agony of tying them.
Christ, don't we put our senior citizens through enough?
Yes.
I know, I think
yes, we do.
You know, they don't deserve these awful shoes.
No, they do. Do not, and don't you think, seriously, let's be honest, couldn't you make a shoe with that ease of use and that comfort factor just a little more stylish so you're not wearing a shoe that says, I am an old person? I think it's ridiculous.
Buzz, as I continue to go through your copy of Secure Retirement Magazine,
yes. Right.
I keep saying, you know, I wish I would have gotten this at Christmas time because there's so many gift ideas. Look, Mike, here's the 18-karat gold-plated miracle magnifying glasses that changes fuzzy small print into large, sharp print.
Absolutely.
You
they're
look
almost
like Tootsie. You look like Dustin
that's
Hoffman.
Great. That's well, great. I could use those. Dustin Hoffman wearing glasses that are as powerful as binoculars.
And then, of course, you have the Y2K emergency flashlight.
Oh, man.
No batteries, no recharging, last a lifetime.
No batteries, how does it work?
That's magic, Mike.
Magic.
It's old people's magic.
Jimmy. Strap on instant foot relief. Foot relief. It's the comforting arch brace.
Oh, good.
Buzz, do you have heel pain?
Not really.
Aching arches?
No.
I do.
My arches are fine.
How about, would you like this, Buzz? The amazing sleep bra?
Well, you know, I can see a day where I might need that. Sure.
A sleep bra? Why would a senior citizen need a sleep bra? It's got to have a reason in there. What's it
wear
for?
This silky feminine bra day and night for the comfort you want and the support you need.
You know what it is? It's for the person that doesn't want the tremendous effort of putting the bra on in the morning.
Comfortably wide, no strain shoulder straps. Provide constant support that helps prevent sagging breasts.
There you go. Okay.
Gently shapes as it supports.
Mm-hmm.
So soft, you'll forget you're wearing a bra. Oh,
but is it waterproof?
I don't know. No cup sizes.
Really?
Each bra stretches to fit B, C, or D cup.
Hey, one size fits all breasts.
Ain't that something?
That's terrific. I'd like one of those.
That's nice. Oh, boy, Buzz, and all this great stuff in here.
That's great. I can't wait.
Silver dollars.
All
the crap that they advertise in here for old people.
Old people. Are there any plates? Are they selling any plates?
I don't see anything like that. Oh, the last thing I see, though, for you, Buzz.
Yes?
It's the Uplift Seat Assist. A safe, self-powered lifting cushion that assists you gently up and down from any armchair or sofa.
You know, but regardless of your age, who wouldn't like to have that?
Yeah, Rob already owns one.
Yeah, great. Really fine.
But Buzz only comes in blue.
Oh, blue is
only
good.
Comes in blue.
I like blue.
Oh, that's a good goof, whoever signed Buzz up for secure retirement.
Well,
and also I have to point out that we received today in the mail our very first photo in the Don and Mike model search contest.
Ooh.
Now, for those of you that don't know, this is the article in Maxim magazine where they're going to put the top 100 women that we rated, and pictures of us were also requested. Mm-hmm. We decided it would be a wonderful idea to put pictures of male models in there.
Because if you look at this picture of us in the New York Post today,
although it's mighty handsome,
not bad, really.
There's no way that we want this picture going to Maxim magazine.
Because, of course, everybody will go, who are they to judge? But if we're, nice-looking girly men.
Beautiful.
So we requested that we get two guys, preferably gay, although we won't hold that against you if you're not gay.
Right.
We want two gay guys, one who looks like Hugh Grant for me, and one who looks like Sting for Mike.
There you go.
And great. This is the first entry we've received, and he's a Hugh Granter, all right.
Okay.
Dear Don and Mike, I'd like to be considered to be your body double, Don, for the Maxim photo shoot. His name is Jason, and as you can see, he's a real professional. He is sent... Is that hilarious?
That is funny.
He has sent his cover sheet that has him in three introspective different poses, including one with a dog. You see that skinny dog standing next to him?
Yeah, that's a disturbing photograph. That is a very disturbing photograph.
But I want to tell you right now, Jason, you're at the top of my list.
That's great.
He could be the guy who plays me in the Maxim picture.
You might have it all locked up already. You might be done with yours. I still am waiting for my Sting lookalike.
Could be. Jason, if you're listening, though, I need to know about your sexuality.
And is there a chance?
I have a thought after looking at the picture, but I need to have some confirmation.
Would you like him to send a photo, perhaps with without a shirt on? Would that be helpful?
Yeah.
Because that's the one.
As a matter of fact, that's the way that our guys are going to have to end up posing.
We want
Maxim will be shirtless.
Yes, without shirts on. I think that's essential to put that in the magazine.
So, Jason, thank you. You're number one on my list. Guys, you only have another week and a half to send us your photos.
Right. He is dreaming.
If you look like Hugh Grant.
You're lucky.
Or Sting.
Don Geronimo is going to look great in that magazine.
And if you would like to be in Maxim magazine pretending that you're us, send your photo. Two, Don and Mike Model Search, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. This will be published in the May issue of Maxim magazine.
And once we get that through and it's published, I will tell you right now, that will be one of the funniest things we've ever... Mm-hmm. I will blow that... That's one thing. I will blow that up and put that on my wall because that will be fantastic.
The May issue of Maxim, which will feature from the X-Files... Gillian Anderson on the cover.
I've
already been told that.
Cool.
And we're going to get a little blurb on the cover saying Don and Mike's top 100 women of the millennium.
And then hopefully all goes as planned into the magazine with the male models posing as us.
Shirtless.
Perfect.
So keep the pictures coming, guys.
With big smiles. Maybe in the middle of laughing, just like topless. Just
like a Montgomery Ward's catalog.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Hello, like a Dockers ad. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you're you're the 100th caller.
All right.
Right. Who is this, please?
Sally.
Hi, Sally. Where are you from?
I live out in Maryland.
Sally, caller 100. You've won the WWF No Way Out prize pack, courtesy of Comcast and Cox Cable. Call your Comcast or Cox Cable system to order WWF No Way Out this Sunday on pay-per-view. Right, real exciting.
Are you, sorry.
That's okay. You ready to play for big money now?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Have you heard the secret celebrity laugh?
Yes.
You sound confident.
I have an idea.
You have an idea. Then you will play for $1,500.
Serious money.
Okay, I'm ready.
Your confidence has scared me in this poker game of life. You play for $1,500. We wish you good luck. Please don't answer until Mike sings like, I know,
Goulet. Yes. You got it.
Love it. We wish you good speed.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There is the laugh. And my confident friend, you are playing for $1,500. I hope the odds are in your favor.
Yes.
That's a show.
Yes, it is.
That's a show. All you need is dinner.
Right.
And you got it right there. You got dinner and a show.
I'm going to bring the tux in this week.
My friend, who is that?
I'm ready. Is it John Travolta?
Who?
John Travolta.
John Travolta.
No.
We're stuck.
No.
I thought I had it.
All right.
No, not John Travolta.
No way.
It was Vinny.
No, it's not Vinnie Barbarino. Come on, how stupid do you think I am? It's not John Travolta. And Mike? No, absolutely not. National celebrities, Mike.
Oh, my N.
Oh, is that
B,
an
my
N?
My B was an
no,
N.
No, wrong on both of them.
Okay.
Wrong on
I would never
both.
Guess the other one.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Hold on, please. And don't forget that every guess is a clue
for you.
For you. Now, I give you a choice of stuff you want to do next.
Okay.
We have all this stuff from the Marry a Millionaire. We have the tape of Paul Walton, our friend, on Entertainment Tonight.
Cool.
And then we'll call him and find out what he had to say on E.T. We have the phone number of the buddy of the Marry a Millionaire guy. Or we've got a new story. No, that's an inaccurate guess, Mike.
Okay.
Mike keeps writing down his guesses. It's a non-verbal thing.
I know.
He keeps holding up signs all the time.
Not good. Not good for radio at all. It doesn't work really well at all.
Well, you know, we'll go with the millionaire stuff. Because I know that there will always be time for our next story.
Yes.
Which is about Regis coming on to more women.
Oh,
it's in the tabloids.
You know what had to happen.
It's in the tabloids today. Regis won't take no for his final answer.
You are so cute. You know I'm hotter than ever.
I feel young. Stunned female fans tell all about Regis's kinky come-on.
You know what I'd like to do with you? I'd like to suck your toes. Could I suck your toes?
And there is the quote here.
You're so cute.
God, you're cute.
Listen, I'm going to the commissary for a bite to eat. Would you like to join me on the elevator?
Okay, well, we will get to that story in a moment.
Pull that red button.
But first, let's do the Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire stuff.
Very good.
This guy, Paul Walton, I hope you heard him on the show last week.
Paul Walton.
This guy is just an absolute pimple on the ass of life. We've had him on the show a couple of times over the last 5 years. He's a guy who is... he has said in the past he'd been very rich, hung out with famous people, and he walked around with a big satchel of photographs in his pocket.
With him and famous people.
And he would just pull them out and say, hey, look, here's me with Tom Cruise. Look, here's me with Nicole Kidman. Look, here's me with Oprah Winfrey.
That's right.
This guy actually went on the Oprah show one time when she did a show that here's a rich guy who can't find a nice girl.
That's it.
And as it turns out, Paul Walton had been out of our lives for years, called last week and said, hey, you know that Marry a Millionaire show? They wanted to use him.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Walton is the millionaire, and he turned them down.
Now, we didn't believe him, and we finally got the producer of that show on the line, and he confirmed the fact that they had spoken to Paul about being on the Millionaire show. And I am sure, as I said to you yesterday, that after all this controversy, Paul Walton probably will be screaming from the highest mountaintop how incredibly smart he was for ducking this show and not going on.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what he said, but he was featured last night on Entertainment Tonight, so just ahead of a phone call to him. Here is the tape of Paul Walton on last night's E.T.
Today, Darva was busy running to the gym and away from media scrutiny. She's wondering how Rick Rockwell came to be the guy who picked her. E.T. has new insight into his selection.
Part of me actually was thinking, God, I could have been the guy.
That's him.
Paul Walton.
That's Paul Walton. Pardon me.
Paul Walton almost was the guy if he'd said yes when the show's executive producer popped the question, will you be our marrying multimillionaire?
He said, we're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars finding the girl of your dreams. You give us the criteria. You tell us what color hair you want, what height, what weight, what edge.
Hey, Rob, do you have the videotape?
Yeah.
Can we do a break? Can you bring the TV in? Because I would like to see Paul Walton. I don't remember what he looks like.
He looks a little puffier and a little grayer.
Ah, Paul Walton. Because I'd like to see the tape before we call him. It's not enough to hear him. I got to see him. I got to see his facial tics.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that Entertainment Tonight now, with a little exposure, more people coming to his bed and breakfast.
Does he work in a plug for his hotel in San Diego?
It's all over the place. It has him walking by the soaking pool.
He's a smart guy.
Get the TV and bring the VCR in. And let's just hold off on that for a second. Let's do a break.
That's terrific.
Come back and we'll watch the tape and then we'll call Paul Walton since I'm sure he's just sitting around with nothing to do.
Paul Walton.
He'd love to talk to us. Let me see if he's there. Oops, hold on.
Any chance to plug his vineyard or wherever the hell it is?
His spa.
His spa out near Oprah's place that Oprah likes to go to.
Right. His is much cheaper. Oprah's is like $1,000 a night. His is $99 a night. Or a special Don and Mike rate.
Castle Creek Inn, can you hold a moment, please?
No, Paul Walton, please.
Oh, Paul is not in right now. Can I take a message, please?
Oh.
Can you call me on the 800 number?
Is the Don and Mike radio show calling?
Yes, hi. Hi. Mike. This is Ellie, Paul's sister.
Oh, yes, hi, Ellie.
Hello, Ellie.
But you know what? This line is getting crossed. We're having a little trouble with this line. Can I give you the 800 number?
Yeah, Ellie, you know what? Is Paul around?
I don't know where he is right now. Actually... hold on just one moment, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Ellie.
Let me try to locate him. Okay.
Thank you, Ellie.
Okay, one moment.
Probably sweet Ellie.
Probably booking hundreds of reservations now. Yeah.
Ellie Walton, everybody.
Castle Creek Inn Resort and Spa.
Here we go.
This is a poor guy.
In 850,
this poor staff.
On our way in Escondido, California.
Yeah.
Just off the I-15.
Hi, I'm Paul Walton. Come to my resort and spa.
I could have been. Who wants to marry a multimillionaire?
I'm Paul Walton.
What did he tell us about his money last week? That he's not really as rich as
he's land rich.
He's not liquid rich.
He's real estate rich. And if he gets the price...
I just don't know where he is right now. I tried to locate him, but I don't know where he's going.
Is he in one of the soaking pools?
I doubt that.
Do you know, has business picked up in the last week or so?
Well, you know, you would have thought it would have picked up more than it has, you know, from the exposure, you know, last night and the radio and the TV, but it really hasn't picked up that much.
So the property is still pretty much snake-bitten?
Yeah. Is it like Poltergeist? Did you guys build over a cemetery or something?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Well, actually, we built over a gold reserve left over by J. David Dominelli.
Really?
You built over what, honey?
Well, you know, J. David Dominelli, the financier used to own
them. Yeah, he's from the California Dominellis.
The infamous
financier.
Mm-hmm. And it's purported that there's some gold underneath them, their hills here.
Well, it was in the S&M. He was into sadomasochism.
Oh,
he was an Italian guy, and it's that's why
he really?
He was a Dominelli.
Did you knock it off? Sorry. Just tell Paul that we called, please.
No pun intended. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell Paul that you called. What's
Thank
your
you.
Number?
He's got the number.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
It's the way it's done. You go to Poland, you get a Dominatsky.
Paul Walton. So business has not worked out for him. However, I'll tell you, someone who was kissed by this show and did, in fact, reap fantastic rewards.
Yes.
Do you know that the week after she appeared on this show,
yes,
Laura Korn called and said the next week after she appeared on her show, on this show, two of her books... were on the New York Times bestseller list.
Man!
Right. 1 week after she was on our show, two books suddenly appeared on the national bestseller list.
I will tell you about Korn. One of the things I liked about Korn, she dressed a lot sexier. I mean, almost like trampy, and I like that. She's here talking about sex. I hope she doesn't wear the cowboy outfits anymore.
Well, I don't think she's coming back for a while.
like maybe a couple of years.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Korn. Absolutely don't worry about
Korn.
That.
Korn's coming.
All right, let's break. We'll come back. We'll watch the videotape of Paul Walton, then we'll try to call him, and if he's not there, we'll follow that up with a call to the best friend of Rick Rockwell,
Barry Colon. Oh, and I got to write a note also to call the general manager of the Portland station.
Yes.
Who dated him. Dated Rick Rockwell.
We're going to be all over this thing.
Okay, good. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Sports 1140 KHDK.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Ladies are always encouraged to call the Don and Mike Show at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. Call us and get intimate.
Don and Mike, this is a pleasure to be in the company of Emmy Award-winning Edie Falco. May I call you Carm?
Oh, please do.
And Carm would like to say hi to Don and Mike at Washington, D.C.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike, down in Washington, D.C. How are you? We're in the cold Big Apple.
What can we expect this year on The Sopranos?
More of The Sopranos.
At least 13 more, right?
At least about 13 more. That's all I can give you.
So we really hope the marriage works out with you and Tony. I mean, he's a handful.
You gotta love him.
No one ever looks quite so good dealing with someone who's about to have a mental breakdown as you. You're very pretty, and you're very put upon, and I think America loves you.
Oh, I couldn't be happier about it. Thanks.
Continuing to broadcast under the Line One regime, right. The Don and Mike Show.
All right.
That's right. Tied it all in, man.
There you go. That's cool.
Got yourself a gun. Woke up all in.
I didn't feel like lighting a cigar like Tony Soprano.
Got yourself a gun.
Yeah, getting over, driving into Jersey right now from Manhattan.
Got yourself a gun.
Still, you know, line it up.
Got yourself a gun.
From day one, that was a great theme for that show.
Soprano song right there. Listen, we're going to get back to this marry a multimillionaire thing. We have the video now so that we can actually watch Paul Walton being interviewed on Entertainment Tonight, okay?
Paul Walton.
And everybody who listened to the show last week heard him when he was discussing how he turned down the chance to be, what is this?
Greenville Rating.
Ah. This is total? Number one? That would be number one.
Wow.
That's number one.
We're number one in Greenville.
Number one in Greenville.
We're number one.
Number one.
What were we last time?
I don't know.
Do we know?
No. Number four?
Hey. We're number one in Greenville.
We have an 11.4 share.
Oh!
And that's great. Yeah. Greenville, South Carolina on WPEK.
Hey, way to go, WPEK. Right. Congratulations down there, you guys.
These are beautiful ratings.
That's wonderful news.
Men. I've got all the men demos now. 2554, number one with a 14.6 share.
Is that number one a 12-plus number that they gave you?
Yep.
Oh, man.
That's cool.
Oh, man.
25 to 54. Oh, well, we're only number two.
Oh, that's not good.
With a 10.5 share.
Double digits.
Men 25 to 49, number one with a 14.1 share.
Marvelous.
People 25 to 49. Number three, only a 9.1 share.
You're not trying hard enough.
Well, these are great ratings.
Oh, that's fantastic. All the people of Greenville, that's great. And, of course, like every other state they broadcast to.
Thank you. WPEK-FM,
The Peak.
That is our station in Greenville, South Carolina, where we've just received some fabulous number one Arbitron rating news.
That is delightful.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I'll roll these up and smoke them.
That's good news. I like that.
That's good.
It's a nice one, Charlie. And that was a very exciting moment on the show. Charlie bursts through the door, has this stack of papers, hands them to you, and it's that wonderful news.
He certainly doesn't burst in when the ratings are bad, thank goodness.
No, he does not do that.
So thank you for listening and supporting this show in Greenville, South Carolina.
For a moment, it made me forget completely about Paul Walton.
No, let's watch him now. Let's watch him on Entertainment Tonight last night as I hit play.
There's the hum of our little...
No, she's not, Rick. You don't know your wife as well as you think. The hospital tells ET that Darva no longer works there as a nurse. Today, Darva was busy running to the gym and away from media scrutiny. She's wondering how Rick Rockwell came to be the guy who picked her. ET has new insight into his selection.
Here we go.
Part of me actually was thinking, God, I could have been
Paul Walton almost was the guy if he'd said yes when the show's executive producer popped the question, will you be our marrying multimillionaire?
He said, we're going to spent hundreds of thousands of dollars finding the girl of your dreams. You give us the criteria. You tell us what color hair you want, what height, what weight, what education.
He does not look good. I'm going to freeze it there for a minute.
No, he looks a little puffier than the last time we saw him.
He looks like one of Beaver Cleaver's friends grown up now.
Yes, absolutely.
He really does. Paul
or
Walton.
It could be on My Three Sons also.
Right down to the breast size.
44-year-old Paul, who owns this San Diego area resort and spa, says the phone call came out of the blue. Producers had seen this article in New York Magazine about his hobby of getting his picture taken with the rich and famous.
There it is. There's some of the pictures we saw.
At least he's come clean with that now that that's his hobby, that he doesn't really know those people.
Yeah, but when they said who owns this resort and spa that he wants to sell...
I'm looking for the girl of my dreams.
And he says that if it doesn't work out, he says, you can have an annulment. He says, just try to keep it for at least 3 months.
Walton felt the only thing missing from the equation was true romance, especially when he was told about the honeymoon.
They said separate rooms if for some reason you don't kick it off. Yeah, separate rooms would be available, but they said, remember, Paul, you're going to be the one picking the girl. She's not picking you, so you can make it the honeymoon of your life.
Paul says that even though he's tired of friends wondering why he's not married,
customers.
Couldn't say yes, which helped open the door for Rick Rockwell.
You have to wait for love. That's the only reason for getting married, as far as I'm concerned.
There he goes.
You don't get married for TV ratings.
There it is, me. You knew he was going to do that.
What really happened during Darva and Rick's honeymoon?
I want to tell you something. That guy Rick Rockwell,
right.
he's a lizard. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, he is.
But the girl would have puked. If from behind that curtain came Paul Walton.
Paul Walton, tongue extended.
Imagine
give me that birthday kiss.
Oh, Pacey, coming out with his mock turtleneck. And Paul Walton.
Paul Walton. Hey, but, we got a little look at his resort there. And,
as much of a flea bag as I would have thought it is.
No, it looks like actually a pretty nice place. It seems like he wants to sell it, though. And then you got to use his line, it should be for love.
Yes.
He's got to be dancing right now because he did turn him down.
That's what we're getting. Can you hold one moment, please?
Hey, it's Don and Mike again. Is Paul
sorry,
around?
He's still not here.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
This is Ellie.
Hi, sister. Ellie.
Hi.
You recognize my voice.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
For New Heights Church.
Oh, hi.
Oh, you thought it was someone else.
No,
great.
Hold on. You guys, we have a switch.
You're on the air.
Because of the rain, we have two conversations going at the same time.
Can the other lady on the other line hear us?
Yeah, she can hear you, too. Can
hi.
You hear Don and Mike on the radio?
Yeah,
she can hear you, too.
Hi. Are you a single lady calling for Paul Walton?
No. You're on the radio right now, Lori.
Are you calling for a reservation?
I'm calling to talk with Ellie about a reservation I've made.
Oh, yes, plenty of good rooms are available.
What is the room rate you got?
Ellie, shall I tell him?
Yes, tell me.
Go ahead. Well, we have a pastor and his wife coming in from Fargo, North Dakota to lovely San Diego.
Yeah, hey there.
Room rate of 99.
Hey.
That is the same rate that we were offered.
Heck of a deal.
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 You put a baby crib in your room?
Do you have cribs available?
Why, Don and Mike, do you need one?
Yes, when I come out there, I do. I sleep in one myself.
And Ellie, when I get out there, can you give me the gray and puffy suite?
I'll give you that with a crib, too.
Fantastic. Excellent.
I'd like the gray and puffy suite.
The Graham?
No.
The Graham fluffy suite?
No. Like your brother. Gray and puffy.
Gray and puffy?
Is Paul down skimming the waiting pool?
What the heck is gray and puffy?
He looked a little puffier than the last time
and
we saw
him. And he looked a little ashen.
Yeah.
That's true. His face looks a little puffier.
Yes, we just looked at him on Entertainment Tonight.
I noticed that, too, myself, that his face looks a little puffier. He's starting to look more like our mother.
Lucky.
Oh, really?
Lucky. Can you tell me what kind of mock turtleneck buffet is? I also noticed he was wearing this mock turtleneck that was driving me crazy.
I know. And the turtleneck didn't even look good.
What's the special for dinner?
Okay, call me back, Lori.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Right.
Hey, you might have lost that customer.
I lost the reservation.
You did. No. I think you did.
And my dad is holding on the other line.
Your dad is?
Our dad is, yeah.
Mr. Walton?
Yes.
Is he proud of your son? Is he proud of his son that his son turned down the fact to be the millionaire guy?
I think my dad was oblivious to what was going on. Oh, our phone is cutting out.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ellie.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, goodbye.
I like her.
Thing is, Ellie looks exactly like Paul.
Oh, poor girl.
Yeah. With pigtails.
And they both look like their mother. Like Ma Walton.
All the Waltons.
Like the widow Walton.
The Waltons.
Okay, well, we're not going to get a hold of... Oh, what'd you cue up? The Waltons music?
Yeah, Rob, this is a joke
that is wasted.
No, the Waltons. Good joke. See?
Paul, the Waltons. Ellie, Mom and Dad, the Waltons.
There they are.
Paul.
Okay, all right.
Good night, Ellie.
Enough with that. All right, so Paul Walton's not there, but in fact, he was Gray and Puffy.
Yeah.
And featured last night on Entertainment Tonight, and you called it. He was trumpeting the fact that he turned down the opportunity to be the millionaire.
And then she'll go down looking for Paul, go to that last unused suite, knock on the door. There's Paul.
Oh, my God. Hanging. Oh, I was thinking of something a little less morbid. I was thinking of, like, getting on a J.O. session or something.
Oh, that's normal stuff. I was taking it to the absolute worst case
because
scenario.
Because the business is just falling apart?
Just, you know, Paul in the shower, like in, you know, in the Officer and a Gentleman.
Turning on rigor mortis and stuff.
Paul Walton.
Oh, no!
He's dead.
And then the sister, being enterprising, would revitalize the inn by turning him into, having him stuffed and turning him into an attraction.
Like Roy did, with Trigger.
Right. And this is Paul. If you go to the suite down here, you'll see Paul, as I found him.
Okay, now, also on the millionaire front, we do have two other related stories. We have the best friend of Rick Rockwell, and we have what I think is a much more interesting interview we'll do first, to call the general manager of our station in Portland, Oregon, J.J. McKay, who apparently dated Rick Rockwell.
And that will be a tremendous insight, because it'll be just another former girlfriend. This guy's got hundreds of former girlfriends.
Apparently.
I bet she went all the way.
All with the story. I bet she did, too. All with stories to tell.
She's loose. She really is.
She's a dirty birdie.
I mean, I'm not talking about, like, when I said girls, you know, how they get loose after they have a baby.
Not like that.
No, not like that. She's just loose.
Yeah.
She might be loose like that, though.
She'd have the female version of the epitaph that you would have in your chimp. She likes sex.
Me like sex. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she squeezed out any kids.
I'd have to ask. Good question. Don't even know if she's married.
Hello?
You have reached Portland Wrestling and the School of Hard Knocks. Ivan and Jeff Gaffori are not available to...
Portland Wrestling and School of Hard Knocks.
I say I have dialed the absolute 100% wrong telephone number.
That was a wrestling school. I mean, that's a number we ought to file. I hope you remember the misdial.
Never.
The School of Hard Knocks. Yeah, brother.
Try this again.
Very good.
The radio
station.
Hello. Is K-Guy.
Yes.
Why do you answer the phone? Hello. Am I calling the studio?
You called it. They're live. This is JJ. I can't believe it.
JJ.
Oh. Hi, JJ.
Hey. How are you guys doing?
I'm fine. Did I call it an inside? Is this an inside line or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I got you.
All right, good.
So listen, JJ McKay, who's the general manager of our station in Portland.
Big you guys are the greatest show in the world, by the way.
Big supporter of our show. We do appreciate that.
We sure do, JJ. We really do.
JJ, tell me about when you banged Rick Rockwell.
I didn't bang Rick Rockwell.
But you didn't have sex with him?
No, he's one of the few I didn't.
But did you? But did you date him?
No, he's a friend. He's actually my best friend, who owns the comedy club here in Portland. Is they're just really, really close. And so every time Rick Rockwell would come here on New Year's Eve, he would go out catting with the comedy club owner, and they're good buddies.
And did you have a lot of contact with this guy, Rick Rockwell?
Oh yeah, I mean, we're not really close friends, but you know, I've known him over the years. I mean, it's like Rick Rockwell in Portland is a big deal.
Have you ever kissed him?
Probably.
Oh, like a New Year's Eve kiss?
Well, no.
Any tongue?
You guys, stop.
Come on, JJ, really. I mean, listen, tell me this. The guy when we saw him on TV, before we even knew about all the stuff with he wants to kill his girlfriend and everything, he looked like a lizard when we saw him on television. Will you stand up for this guy's character?
Well, I mean, I've only seen him on stage. He's an okay guy. He's not a fruit.
You know, his skin is so drawn across his face. When you're up close to him, can you see his heartbeat through the veins through the veins in his face?
Well, you know what I think is really funny about this?
What?
Is like, you know, here he's in Portland, a big deal, right? And I mean, up until this point, he's been kind of what we call an A-list comic, but he's never gotten a big break. Doing this stupid show on how to be a millionaire will probably be the biggest advancement in his career. Forget about having any talent at all. All you have to do is have some stupid show on Fox to really move ahead.
Are you serious that this guy is like a minor league celebrity really in Portland?
Oh, yeah.
Really? And when you say an A-list comedian, you mean he has quite a following when he performs up there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is like, you've got to remember, this is Portland, Oregon. It doesn't take much to get us excited.
Who is more popular in Portland, do you think? Carrot Top or Rick Rockwell?
Oh, Rick Rockwell.
Rick Rockwell?
More than Carrot Top?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, that's absolutely incredible.
Well, see, New Year's Eve comes to a halt at Arby's Comedy Club because, I mean, Rick just packs the place. He's a huge deal here.
Who is more popular in Portland, do you think, David Brenner or Rick Rockwell?
Honestly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. Brenner came here to Portland about 3 weeks ago, and I think that Rockwell packs him in more.
Really? Okay, then let me go. Let me move up the comedy scale.
Fine.
Is Ray Romano more popular in Portland than Rick Rockwell?
Well, seeing as the Hispanic population is less than 2%, you figure it out.
I don't get it.
I don't think Ray Romano's Hispanic.
Well, I know, but everybody, this is a way white town. They don't even know who he is.
Really?
Don't they get Everybody Loves Raymond up there?
It's not a big show here in Portland.
So you're telling us that Rick Rockwell performs on New Year's
Eve. What about Chris Rock? Who's more popular in Portland, Chris Rock or Rick Rockwell?
I would have to concede Chris Rock.
Yeah. Okay, finally. We finally got the cutoff point there. You know, I will tell you that you're saying that if he's booked in a comedy club on New Year's Eve, that would mean that he's the main headliner of the year.
The Big Kahuna.
That's incredible. Now, have you seen his act?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you think of it?
You know, for Portland, it's good.
For Portland.
For Portland, it's good.
You keep qualifying.
What about for the rest of the country? What about for any other major city? What about for D.C. or Baltimore or Sacramento or Rochester?
Give me a city and then I'll give you a comparison.
All right, Rochester, New York. Would he be...
he'd be like okay.
Really? He'd be like, okay, but in Portland, he's a superstar.
Hey, man, we don't get much out here.
Do you remember any portions of his act? Is there anything he does that's particularly horrible?
He's actually a pretty mainstream comic, and I think that's part of the reason why he's always been a big draw on New Year's Eve. I mean, obviously, New Year's Eve is a big night for the comedy club here in Portland, so they don't want somebody that's really over the line. But he's okay.
Did he ever come on to you?
I don't know. It's hard for me to figure that stuff out now.
Did you ever see him hit on other women?
Oh, yeah.
Big time? Was he kind of a whore?
Yeah.
Did he ever threaten to kill you?
Did he ever go into a place when it was really hot and there were flies flying around? Did he ever, like, catch one out of the air with his tongue?
Well, that sounds like the comics condo, but I never went there very much.
Okay. So you, in fact, did not date Rick Rockwell, for the record.
God, no.
For the record, you haven't dated him, but you do know him.
No. I mean, I have a standard way of doing men, you know, before I got married, and basically...
What was that way, JJ?
Yeah, you know, basically, you sleep with talent, you don't get serious with them.
Oh, wow. Boy, it must be a fun radio station you're running up there.
That's for sure. So before you got married, you slept with funny guys. You didn't get serious with them. And since you think that Rick Rockwell is a funny guy, can I then assume that you slept with him?
Maybe in another lifetime.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't. And by the way, I'm so glad you guys aren't selling out.
Well, thank you.
That's New York.
Okay, right.
They should just basically fire Opie and Anthony and put you on.
Oh, well, thank you, JJ.
Thank you, JJ.
You're welcome, guys.
Appreciate that.
Love you, mean it.
Okay, love you. No, mean it more. Thank you, JJ.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
She's a tough bird to read. She's tough. I bet she's a tough lady, too.
I bet she did everything to him. I bet the no-no spot and everything.
Listen, your talent. I'll do you, but we can't get serious.
My Lord, you are a strapping young woman.
She's got to be the loosest general manager we've ever met.
She's a lot of fun. She's really a lot of fun. And who'd have thunk Rick Rockwell would be Portland.
With no offense to JJ, who runs a great radio station and one of our biggest supporters, she's got to be 100% full of crap.
Yeah. Rob, we'll have to get calls from people in Portland letting us know where this guy stands, if this guy is a big deal.
We don't have phone books like for Portland, do we?
No.
We have nothing along those lines.
Just dial 00.
Father Time? Yes.
So what I want you to do, go on the internet and find me some phone numbers in Portland.
Okay.
Like of businesses and stuff.
All right.
Are we going to wait for Buzz while he does that?
Oh, no. We're going to take a commercial
break. That's a good move.
We're going to take a commercial break for Mr. Senior Assisted Living. Quite the intoxicating laugh that you just oh, is this somebody from Portland already? Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, I want to talk to Donna Mike about this Rockwell guy.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, hey. I'm from the Portland area.
Yes, ma'am.
Never heard of him.
Okay, never heard of him.
Nope, but I'm out here in D.C. now, so now I've heard of him because he's on the Fox and all that kind of crap.
But when you lived in Portland, you never heard of him?
Never heard of him.
All right, thank you, honey.
You know, a stand-up comedian, I totally agree with JJ that this will be a total shot in the arm. I mean, the guy will instantaneously be able to get bookings.
If he's bright enough to now use this and work it into his material.
You know, you can have any scandal in America, and if you are a comedian, you know, you'll be okay. Hello. What did he leave for you?
Nothing. It's an inside joke. I'm not going to... Rob, no, again, you know, Rob does a separate show for me.
I know he does.
Every day.
Right.
Every day. It's like I get all the little notes with the jokes that are only funny to me and Rob. Loved his song, Somebody's Watching Me.
Rockwell.
I can't use that joke.
It's not totally inside.
Come on, it's so inside. It's so over the top. Hello?
Hey, Donna Mike.
Yes.
Hey, this is Clint from Portland, Oregon.
Yes, hi, Clint.
Never heard of that guy.
Never heard of him, okay.
Never heard of him.
Thought so. Thank you.
I go to Harvey's Comedy Club. Oh, it's not a clue. Wow.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Harvey's Comedy Club. Hey, thanks for coming by.
Here's Paul from Portland. Hello.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Paul, hi there.
Yeah, I'm from Portland. I'm a Sacramento transplant.
Yeah.
But I, the whole time living up there, never heard of the guy at all.
Never heard of him. All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, guys.
Thank you. Oh, hold on. Here's a guy who says he's done comedy with Rick Rockwell.
Oh, very good.
Hello.
Everybody hey, knows this guy.
Hi. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Don, Mike?
We're doing great, thank you. Who's this?
Good. This is Rick. I live in Reno now.
Yes, Rick. And you've done comedy with Rick Rockwell?
Yeah, I used to open up for him at Just for Laughs up in Reno, up in Portland about 5 years ago.
So he was the headliner?
Yeah, he's really good, actually.
Really? Was he well-received by the Portland audience?
He was, especially the people who really are into comedy. He was really good. He had a pretty good show, and... He never beat me or anything, but he's a pretty nice guy.
Will you hang with the guy after the show or before?
A little bit. He wasn't really into hanging out. He was just go back to his condo.
Really?
Condo. That would be the comics condo.
The
one where you don't sit on the sofas, otherwise you'll itch.
Hello, Don and Mike. House of Jizz.
The comics condo.
Welcome to Carrot Top's House of Jizz.
Hey, would you like to come back to the comic condo?
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Hi, Matt.
I work at the Sack Comedy Theater in Portland there.
Yes, sir.
And he's been there before, and actually ever since then, we changed the name to the Ballsack Comedy Theater.
Oh, right. That's another fan of Rick Rockwell.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was just calling. I live in Spokane, Washington, which is like 300 miles from Portland.
Right.
And that Rick Rockwell sucks. I saw him once in Portland, and he is just a joke.
Really?
All right, thank you for the feedback.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hello.
Well, you're hearing it. The, you know, the entire state loves him.
Vicky.
He's big.
Yes.
Hi, Vicky. You're on the air.
Hi. Rosie O'Donnell last night was being interviewed by Pat O'Brien on X.
Yes.
And she was saying, Rick Rockwell, oh my God, I can't believe him. I used to do the comedy clubs with him. He is such a loser. He's an awful comic. I can't believe he had to go on TV and get a wife. And what a loser. I mean, she was like ragging on him.
Well, you know, I think thing you can say about Rick Rockwell, based on his track record, I consider the guy probably overtly heterosexual, which probably bothers Rosie.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Mike Show. Just who I needed to talk to.
Hi.
I had some information about Portland for some numbers for him to call.
Okay, thank you. Hold on, please.
All right.
Someone calling for you, Buzz.
Thank you. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
I am your Dick Rockwell, Buzz.
Oh, Jorge.
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 Who wants to marry a broadcaster?
Thank God.
You do love Buzz, don't you?
Buzz, are you waiting for me?
No, I don't think so, Jorge, but thanks anyway.
My parents like you.
Goodbye, Jorge. Hey, Buzz, you know what? Ixnay on the phone number. Then.
Okay.
Don't worry yourself about it, Father Time.
I will
right?
be your Lick Rockwell.
I think we got enough calls from Portland. I think we've already received the pulse of Portland, Oregon, that they frankly
they love him.
Don't know who he is and they could care less about
him. Absolutely.
All right, then we will follow up with the last
part of this pyramid. Mm-hmm. In our next break, we will call Rick Rockwell's buddy.
Very good.
His buddy from the comedy club.
Excellent. His butt buddy.
Okay. Oh, goodbye, Rick.
Oh, good. Buzz.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
What do these fellas do? Cheat at cards? Steal some strays? Spit on a rich fella? What?
No, they cut up a woman.
What?
Yeah, cut up her face, cut her eyes out, cut her fingers off. Everything for cunning, I suppose.
Dog. They're smart. They're funny. They're just not quite as handsome as Mikey Rocket. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, thank God he's out of our lives.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
JJ is just pulling your leg. He's not that huge here. And the place he plays, you could fit the place for the venue that Brenner or Carrot Top plays. You could fit that venue about six, seven, at least eight times inside that place. So he was not that big. Sure, he's played here. He's done it a few times, but he's not huge at all.
We got the feeling that Rick Rockwell isn't really all that in Portland. And maybe, you know, frankly, maybe JJ is thinking with another part of her body when she thinks about him.
I only think there are two alternatives right now. There are two alternatives. One is that she is thinking that way, and the other one is that she may be, in fact, you know, jerking our chain on that, and that the guy's nobody, and she knew it all along.
Well, see, I think she's building up the advertiser, too, because the comedy club that he plays at is an advertiser on their station.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Well, thank you, my friend.
See you, man.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
He's coming, Don. Donahue's coming. Don't worry. He's coming. Don't be afraid.
Okay.
He's going to be coming very soon.
Thank you.
Oh, he's coming.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh, we're trying.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to talk to Dynamite.
Yes, turn your radio down, please. Big knob to the left.
You're from Washington. You want to talk about the comedian.
Big
Hello?
Knob, turn it to the left.
Hello,
oh, hey, I'm sorry.
Hopeless. Too challenged.
I'm sorry. You are an idiot. I'll wait for him to hear it on the delay.
Hello?
Turn your radio up. You
Hello?
Should have been aborted.
I should have been aborted?
Yes.
Why?
You know, we've got a beautiful balance here. When you want him to listen to the radio,
yeah,
he doesn't
know.
Do it.
Right.
Because when you're ruining our show.
How am I ruining your show?
Turn the radio down.
Turn the radio down. I should have been aborted. Hello?
You know, you've got a beautiful balance here. And you
I wish I could go back in time. I wish I could go back in time and visit your mother with a coat hanger. I really do.
This is just a pure a-hole.
All right, he's gone.
He's gone. Gone.
Pure, 100% refined a-hole.
Absolutely. Doesn't get any more pure than that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Mike, this is Graham from Greenville. Just wanted to thank you for making my ride a lot easier and funnier on the way home.
Oh, Graham, thank you for those. Hey, we just got some great ratings from Greenville, some number one ratings.
And I just wanted to congratulate you, man.
We're pretty psyched about that. That's fantastic.
Thank you, Graham.
Listening to the peak every day, 3 to 7.
Appreciate it. Thank you, my friend. Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're great, thank you.
Great. I just heard about the new Greenville things that are coming in, and I live like an hour from Greenville, and I just wanted to say you guys really do make our day, and you guys do deserve that.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you. Yeah, it's really nice to do a syndicated show.
Excuse me?
Never mind.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Never mind.
Just, I have one more question.
Never mind.
Please.
Never mind. What?
The Clint Eastwood clip you played earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the one you were talking about yesterday, right?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Thanks.
Are you wearing a checkerboard shirt?
No, I'm not.
Tied off at the midriff?
No, I'm wearing a Calvin Klein sweatshirt.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. I wanted to say something nice to her, but she just wouldn't let me.
It was impossible.
Hello. Furpo.
Hey,
yeah.
What kind of a name is Furpo?
It's Italian.
Hey, Furpo.
That's the very hairy clown that performs in the circus.
Furpo.
It's Furpo.
He was that boxer guy from
that's
way back.
Clown. That's the clown with the hairy back.
where
the front, you know, is just the whole clown thing with the makeup, but then you turn around and Furpo has matted hair on his shoulders.
Backless.
You've seen my brother.
Furpo.
Furpo, what can we do for you?
Hey, I got a question. I've been trying to find out. No one seems to know. It's about The Sopranos, so I figured y'all would know.
Yes, sir.
Meadow, last year, she looked anorexic. This year, I mean, in real life, does she have a baby or something? Because she doesn't...
We have discussed Tony's daughter on the show ad nauseum.
Meadow's gotten big.
I don't think she's had a baby, but I think that she... I don't know.
Her hips got a little bit wider.
She's eating like... She has birth and hips, I'll give you that.
Rob has seen her.
Off-season, she had a baby or something, and, you know, they just didn't... Of course,
she's too young to have a baby, I think.
Rob, you're never too young to have a baby. I think you know that. Baby's having babies.
Perhaps you're right. But now, I mean, this stuff that was shot like 6 months ago. Now she's back to looking perfect, just fine.
Real and Rob saw her recently.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, thank you.
Hey, also, I had no suggestion for you.
Well, no thanks, Furpo.
Pitch Black. Gotta see it.
Movie, Pitch Black.
Okay, Pitch
Absolutely
Black.
Fake.
Gotcha. Thank you, my friend.
The amazing Furpo. I saw the Furpo at the Shrine Circus up in Hartford, Connecticut one time. I saw Furpo. The whole act is Furpo gets out of one of those little clown cars and then removes a tick.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, what's up? What's up, buddies?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I found this thing on eBay. It was pretty cool. Original Godfather script with autographs on eBay.
You know, there's a lot of that crap on eBay. The problem is it's hard to authenticate anything that you would buy that is...
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Don. You know, someday Mike has a great eBay story, and someday he's going to tell you that story.
Yeah, as soon as everything's wrapped up.
But it's very hard to authenticate like if you get something that's autographed by somebody on eBay.
It is very
I know, this guy's got, like, a letter that came back from, like, Sotheby's.
You mean Sotheby's?
Stating that it was...
Sotheby's?
Sotheby's?
That's their next, the one of the two big auctions. Now, the other one is Christie's.
Christie's
and Sotheby's.
All right, well, how much is the bid for this alleged autographed Godfather script?
He's got it at $50,655.
That's his asking price?
That's the current price. The first bid was $50,000.
You're kidding me.
Wow.
No.
You are effing me.
No, there's like, and it says it's signed by all the major players of the movie.
$50,000? For $50,000, Al Pacino and Marlon Brando better come over and blow me. For $50,000.
Dom, we're just here to blow you. We're going to blow him now.
Hey, forget about it.
Yeah, it says here that the current record holder for the highest price paid for a script was Gone with the Wind for like $247.
Yeah, they better bring the whole staff over. I mean, James Caan and everybody. Everybody from every Godfather movie, one, two, and three, they better all come over and just have sex with me. For $50,000?
Congratulations, Mr. Geronimo. We're all right here right now. We're going to have sex with you, everyone. Come on, Al Pacino, come on over. Have sex with him right now. Robert Duvall will now be having sex with you, Don.
Jimmy Caan
now will be having sex with you. We've all had sex. We're older now, but we're going to have sex with you for $50,000.
Hello, Paul.
Yes, Don.
Paul, buddy.
Hey, I was listening the other night to ESPN Radio, and Leah Remedy was on. You know, I think she has ditched you guys.
Well, she's allowed to do other radio appearances.
And I think she has done nothing close to ditching us.
Well,
I think you're trouble.
You're trouble.
That's why you're talking when I'm talking, because you are trouble.
Sorry, Don.
No, that was Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
And furthermore, I don't believe you. I think of all the radio shows that Leah Remini would go on, I find it very hard to believe that she would go on ESPN Radio.
Could you ask her? It was with Todd Wright.
No, I could not ask her. As a matter of fact, I think I've just walked into a cheap publicity stunt for whoever Todd Wright is.
As I said, this guy is trouble.
Right, gotcha.
She was saying, love you, and you know me so well, she...
Even if that is true, she is allowed to do other interviews?
Okay, all right.
Crazy. You're just trouble, aren't you? Has anyone ever referred to you as trouble before?
No.
Okay.
I mean, much as I would love to have her be in my stable, I cannot control her. She's allowed to do other stuff if, in fact, she went on another radio show. What do you want me to do about it?
Well,
she got a TV show to promote.
Well, hello.
I'll tell you this.
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening.
Furthermore, whoever this dick disc jockey is that you're talking about, I bet he's not going to be sleeping at our house. I am a week from Friday. And you know what? My wife knows about it.
Some of us are luckier than others.
You are trouble.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Hey, I love the show.
What was the point of this call?
Just the fact that how you and Mike were saying the other day that there was becoming a...
What?
A separation.
Mike and I said there was becoming a separation.
What does that mean? Explain yourself. Talk in complete sentences.
Mike was suggesting that you were being colder than you had been previously.
What does that have to do with anything? We have wonderful, wonderful conversations with this lady. We love having her on the show.
When we had her on last week, she was talking about how she loves having sex with her boyfriend. I wouldn't call that anything but close and personal.
And when we do the thing about, like, she's annoying or we haven't, that's really a lot of fun. We enjoy that, too.
I agree with you. I love your conversations with her.
Well, good. Then just shut up and listen.
It's a very bad call. Very bad call.
Thanks, Mike.
You're trouble. Big time. I call that trouble with a capital T.
Okay, thank you.
Hey.
Thank you, Mr. Radiophile.
Not a problem.
And that's what they always say, too. Trouble callers almost, I think, I've done a survey, 80% of the time will say, not a problem.
It's because right now, throughout this entire call, this guy is 1 second away from geesh. You know, because he's on the radio.
Sure, that's what he wants. See, that's what he's like.
He won't go away.
Now, what were you doing just there with that breathing sound? Was it stifling?
No, that was me laughing.
That exclamation of joy when you geesh? Yeah.
How many radio shows in a week would you estimate you call?
I have only called 2 radio shows. No, I actually make that 3. I once won a trip to Scotland on a radio show.
Okay, do it. Okay, right. Got it. Called it. Beautiful. And I bet you a couple other things that end with the word file also, along with radio. I just bet you, if you put whatever word and file after it, you're probably it.
Sure. Handophile. He's a handophile.
And you know the one I'm thinking of.
Sure.
The one I really want to say.
Rhymes with kettle.
That's right.
So, see, you call with, like, a very, like, a...
There he's gone.
Finally. Yes, we would have continued on that until
he
left us.
He took the hint. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, you bastards.
You bastard. Hey, you son of a bitch.
Hey, y'all guys got government hours or something?
Pardon me, come again?
Do y'all guys got government hours or something?
What are government hours, sir?
Work when you feel like it. You're always running the best of Don and Mike. I don't like him.
The last time we ran the best of Don and Mike, I believe, was when it was a national holiday this past Monday, my brother.
Yeah, but y'all ran a best of Don and Mike last week, too.
And I will not sit here and let you insult all the fine government workers that listen to this program.
Yeah. Listen, to be specific, we did not run best of last week.
Well, every time I turn the radio on, it's always the best of Don and Mike.
So you turn the radio on Monday, and then prior to that, you turn the radio on at Christmas time.
And you, every month you have the best of Don and Mike. I love you guys live.
What's your problem?
I don't want to hear the best of Don and Mike.
Good, then turn the radio off. You're talking to us now, you idiots.
And I want to tell y'all,
if you want to complain, you should call and complain when the tape is on.
Why are you calling us now? We're here live now. What's your point?
Why are you getting mad? I love you guys.
Well, let's just don't F with us like that.
But I was going to tell you, I ain't gay, but please stay away from that tape delay.
You know, the fact is, you are gay because you said that. You're very gay.
And I just wanted to call it and tell you guys I love you.
Right. He's just being...
Just stay away from the tape delay.
Let me say
it. And the best of dynamite. I like hearing you guys live.
Now, what's the problem? Well, all right, we're not going to be on tape delay. We already announced that today when we go on in New York.
I'm kind of slow, so I admit to that.
It's not going to be tape delay. It's going to be live every day.
Okay.
New York is going to get the tape delay.
Uh-huh. All right.
And all furthermore, I'll take a day off whenever I goddamn feel like it.
Yeah.
Because I've worked 25 years in this business.
But you have my feelings when you take...
I don't care. I'm thinking about taking the rest of the day off right now. You're pissing me off so bad.
I almost cried when I heard y'all. I thought y'all was going to leave to go to New York.
No!
I called to say I love you guys, you, Bud, and
you.
Mike, and Don.
Love you. Thank you.
Nice. All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Loves the show.
You, Buzz, and Mike, and Don. Who was the you? Rob, I guess you were you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you, Buzz, Don, Mike.
I don't know who you are.
Hey, listen, I was watching TV Land the other night. They're doing a Happy Day salute. Al Molinaro was interviewed. I think this guy's ditching you.
Okay, thank you. That's a good cause. That's finally somebody who gets it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. One person out of a million who gets what we're trying to do, what we're struggling to do every day. Oh, hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Don. I called a little while back with when you had Richard Simmons on, and I was wondering, are you guys really good friends with him?
Oh, yes. Him? Oh, yes. We're intimate friends with him.
Some of us better than others.
I was a 450-pound guy that called complaining to you guys about watching those tapes that he had, and, you know.
You just didn't try enough. You didn't try.
Well,
if you were done eating for the day, but you never were you? You were never done eating for the day.
Are you talking about a deal?
Yes, I am.
You're done for the day.
You're done, and I bet you didn't sweat to the oldies very much either, did you?
I did when I was reaching for the pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, there's the problem.
Right. What can we do for you?
Well, you know, I just want to tell you guys, I love you guys' show. You guys are great. You know,
Thank you.
Day go by so smooth.
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye now.
All right.
Goodbye.
But thanks for your efforts in continuing to try to drag us to the bottom of the pool.
Hello. Last call, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hey, man. Hey, you know, you need to talk to Leah Remini about her fashion choices on that show. Did you see her Monday night?
I liked what she was
wearing.
I
thought she looked good. She had a hot little red outfit on.
I love that red top.
That pink shirt, man. Oh, my gosh.
No, I want to tell you something. Leah Remini looks good wearing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that I'll have to agree with, but I'm thinking it's going down the tubes, man. I think, you know, she's getting too much popularity on your show, so they're down-dressing her.
No, I disagree. I thought she looked very, very, very hot on Monday night's episode of King of Queens.
Mm. But I'll tell you, you keep thinking because it's your right as an American.
Thank you, my friend.
Don't forget that.
Right.
I won't.
Goodbye.
Especially when you call.
Goodbye.
It is your right to keep thinking.
Toe-tapping touch tones. Clear these lines out. Clear them out, Toya.
Get us the rebreather.
Hold on a second, Toya. Nope. All right, good. Good girl. She got rid of him.
Oh, very good.
She had one guy on to scream about something. She just cut him loose when she heard the touchdown. Good job. Like that, Toya.
Very good.
We will take caller 100. Call the lovely Toya right now.
Yeah!
Phone number is 1-877-365-3636. Give you a shot at winning up to $10,000 with the secret celebrity laugh right now.
This is the Dawn. Falls Church, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry. There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Don and Mike?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning. They were on the afternoon. I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, in fact, the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning. And totally destroyed them. But you could doctor tape.
This generation rules the nation with version.
The writing is delicious. Laugh it up. The Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, everybody. On Friday's show, we're giving away a trip for two to Vegas.
Vegas!
To see Trinidad versus Reed.
Ooh.
Big boxing match from Comcast and Cox Cable. Trip has round trip air, hotel, and tickets to the fight at Caesar's Palace.
And Trinidad is the guy that defeated De La Hoya.
On March 3rd, Trinidad versus Reed is in demand. Live Friday, March 3rd. Call Comcast or Cox Cable now to order. We'll give that away on Friday's episode.
Man, Felix Trinidad versus Billy Reed.
Tomorrow in studio. Oh, those big fat furniture guys from the Learning Channel.
They are fun guys, and I think they know their stuff.
Yes,
they
do.
They're interesting guys.
They'll be good guests. They're on tomorrow. Then in the next few days, Tim Conway,
mm-hmm.
a doctor who says you should have anal sex all the time. It's good for you.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The aforementioned Leah Remini coming back on the show. I think both she and Kevin, and I believe Jerry the Fist Stiller, I think all three of them are coming on the show Monday for our big debut show in New York on WNEW-FM.
I can't get a word in edgewise.
Then we will be out in Los Angeles to play ourselves on King of Queens on March 10th, March 17th, Las Vegas-style show in Wichita.
Fantastic.
Plenty of stuff coming up on the show. We have not yet talked about the Regis Philbin hitting on women article.
Oh, God, you're cute. We'll
get to that in a second. Also have a discussion today. I want to talk about how come guys get so turgid for this ridiculous Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, which is out today.
Yeah, I know your point on this.
My point is,
it confuses me.
If you want to see naked women, buy Playboy, buy Penthouse, buy Hustler, buy We, buy Swank.
But I think the allure of this magazine is that it's like going to the beach, only you're seeing women that are beautiful in their bikinis as opposed to the usual pigs you would see at the beach.
Yeah, but you want to see beautiful girls, buy Playboy. I just saw someone had the new copy of Playboy sitting right back in the producer's room. There's very cute girls in play. Mike, wait till the commercials.
Mike will be right back.
There's very cute girls in there. I don't know why guys get all turgid.
Does it do anything for you to look at the swimsuit issue?
No, and I subscribe to Sports Illustrated, and I'll get it.
Right.
And I'll look at it. I'll go, eh.
Will you linger over it at all?
No.
It's got pretty girls in it.
Yeah, no, but if I want to see pictures of pretty girls.
I know. But don't you like, for example, if you see Aniston in in a photo spread, and she's wearing one of those sweaters. Like, and you talk about the sweaters on the show.
Uh-huh.
You're attracted to that, but she's not naked.
Yeah, but I want to see Aniston naked because I know who Aniston is. All of these models that put their fingers down their throat so that they puke up their lunch, I don't know who they are, with the exception of Blackie Parrish's wife.
Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
I don't know who any of these girls are. And frankly, if you want to get my attention, take your clothes off.
So are
go
you
all the way with it.
Are you advocating taking the swimsuit issue off the stands completely, or are you saying that it should be the naked woman issue?
It needs a different editorial stance.
How about women doing sports naked?
That's fine.
All right.
Or at least topless. At least compromise. Mm-hmm. You know, no bush.
Right.
But topless. Everybody in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue should be topless.
There's always one where they're folding their arms in front of their breasts.
Yeah, and frankly, I've had it with that. I get that in Rolling Stone, Mike.
Enough. Have you seen the recent issue? Have you seen it?
I already received it at home before I came in today.
Is it floating around here anywhere?
No.
Oh.
I didn't bring it in. Because I knew every guy would be walking around, you know, all aroused and stuff, not concentrating.
Hey, Don and Mike.
I'm confused.
hold on a second. You're the contest winner. If you want naked women, go buy a real naked woman magazine. But don't be coming to me with all this stuff. Oh, these girls are so hot. This is so incredible. Such a sexual magazine. It's not. It's like a Victoria's Secret catalog.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is, and they make a big deal about it. Like, it's the biggest thing of the year.
Now, I've seen you react to those Victoria's Secret catalogs, too.
Not like I do to real naked girls, though.
The commercials for Victoria's Secret, though.
Oh. Well, those are real bosoms, really moving.
TV.
Oh, so, and I know that this, and listen, the other thing that they're doing, this Sports Illustrated, the new one, is it comes, it's 3D.
Ah.
So it comes with these ridiculous pair of idiotic glasses that you have to put on.
Did you already throw yours away?
I tried them. Didn't work.
I tried them.
3D has never worked for me.
So you're against it, but not all that against
it. No, I tried it. I looked through the magazine.
Did it, and the 3D didn't? 3D never works.
No, it doesn't.
It didn't work with the House of Wax, and it doesn't work with this issue.
3D is worthless.
Right.
I'll tell you who the Sports Illustrated issue is good for, like my son, Bart,
yeah,
who is going to be 15 years old in a month. Mm-hmm. I feel safe giving him the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue because it's close to naked girls, but it's not naked girls.
Right.
But he's almost 15.
What kind of 3D did they use? The red and green or the kind that just look like sunglasses?
They look like sunglasses.
Okay, that's fuzzy
blue,
technology.
Right?
That never works out.
No, mine are like gold, Buzz.
Oh, really?
Yes, the ones that came in mind.
They're like Elvis glasses, right?
Different colors. PCB. Well, they're made out of paper.
Oh, really?
They're made out of paper. I mean, the lenses are kind of like goldish.
I've never been able to work those 3D glasses. You know, maybe it's because one eye is bigger than the other.
Hello?
Monday.
Hey, buddy, let me ask you a question.
What's that?
Do you get all aroused for the Sports Illustrated issue?
I agree with you, Don. I don't.
Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue?
Nope. If you want the real thing, buy the real thing.
Right on.
There you go.
Right
I totally disagree with that. I really do.
Right
I mean, I think that it's not getting totally aroused, but you can certainly appreciate the women in their swimsuits.
But don't you agree, though, that it's overblown, that No pun intended.
That
the sexuality. Now I just figured out what you're saying. You're talking about the sexuality angle of the whole thing.
Yeah, everybody's like, wow. Yes. Now, this is the hottest thing. You got to go out and get this because you've not seen anything like this before.
I swear to God, until that moment, I did not understand what you were saying, and now I totally understand what you're saying. What you're saying, the way that they're saying, oh boy, oh dirty swimsuit issue, better get that. Oh, have you seen that? When it's really not that
right.
at all.
That's my point.
That's your point.
If you want. That's what
you
I
get,
said.
Now do you get what he's talking about?
I do, yeah. Now I understand. But you didn't get it before. What I said before is exactly that.
Right.
If you want to see naked girls,
yes.
Buy Playboy.
Now I understand what you mean by that, because they do make it into this, ooh, it's the sexy swimsuit.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, I like the, you know, I like to read the thing when they're in there, and I dig it, but I mean, I'm never looking at it like, ooh, it's the swimsuit issue.
And furthermore, I don't want anybody to think that I'm gay, because I'm not. Not that there would be anything wrong with that.
Right.
But I also get mad at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, don't bother to make a regular Sports Illustrated.
Right.
It's like, I was looking through it today for the NFL part.
Right.
At least put some guys in swimsuits in there.
Oh, well, you knock it off.
No. There's no sports in there.
Oh.
There's only all these girls in these exotic locations.
Used to be, it would be a section inside the Sports Illustrated with sports surrounding it.
Yes.
Right.
It would be.
Yeah, but I think you have all the Sports Illustrated writers. In, you don't think that guy we met one time at the Super Bowl?
Oh, that guy, what's his name? He does the back cover. It's The Life of Riley.
Yeah,
he's on
Rick Riley.
Rick Riley.
And I didn't know who he was, and he was so, so mad that I didn't know who he was.
I knew who he was. I think he writes a good column.
He writes a great column.
The last page in Sports Illustrated.
I started reading it after, you know, after that. I'm like, and you are, sir?
Ken LeClaire.
Rick Riley.
He was a listener of our show.
That's right.
He was. I wouldn't say he was a fan of the show, but he had heard our show before.
And then I read his column a week later, and I laughed my ass off.
Hello?
Yes.
What's your name?
My name's Ken.
Ken, where are you calling us from?
From Laurel, Maryland.
Ken, you have won a Simpsons T-shirt. Celebrate the 10th anniversary of The Simpsons by watching The Simpsons weeknights on Fox 5. Are you ready to go for the big money?
I sure am.
Hey, my friend, you feeling confident?
No, I'm not.
You will play for, I don't buy it, $1,000.
Oh.
I think we're getting false anti-bravado here.
Does $1,000 appeal to you, sir?
It sure does.
Yeah, it's going to work for me.
I think this guy's got a clue. I really do. I think he's just trying to fake us out.
Okay, is that why he's breathing heavily into the phone?
I think so.
Okay.
I think he's doing like Letterman. What Letterman does is,
my old eye.
You got gum. He's right. Doing his dumb guy thing. I think
you might be right about that.
All right, $1,000 on the line for you. Good luck. We'll play you the secret celebrity laughing. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Stand up over the top, big time, Las Vegas style Robert Goodman.
That's what we want.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. And we wish you...
Godspeed! Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There's the laugh. I'll tell you right now, I think this guy absolutely is playing possum with us. Oh, Mike, now don't hurt yourself.
Dangerous.
Mike is actually up on the console.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes. Oh, yes. You know... Don't go hurting yourself, though.
But I got to keep improving on it.
You don't mess with perfection. Got it down. Got it down. Ken, for 1,000 American dollars, who is that?
Is that Matthew McConaughey?
What did I tell you? What did I friggin' tell you? Would you please repeat that?
Matthew McConaughey.
Star of...
Contact.
Right.
Bunch of others.
Ed TV. Ken?
Yes?
You have...
Lost.
Yeah.
Oh, we're stuck.
Sorry about that.
Right, no, not even close. Thank you, though. Thank you. Every guest, a clue for you.
For you.
We've not heard Matthew McConaughey before, whatever the guy's name is.
Right.
Matthew McConaughey.
McConaughey.
Who I can't stand, incidentally. Ellie?
Ellie, hello, Ellie.
Ellie? When he was in that movie Contact. Ellie?
Hello, Ellie.
Ellie, I'm not going to be able to vote for you to go to the strange planet, Ellie.
Ellie?
Ellie?
For some reason, I think you're attracted.
Hey, very nice, Matthew McConaughey.
Very nicely done.
Give him his props.
Very nicely done. Thank you. Hold the line, please.
Thanks.
Hold on. Remember, like I said, every guest, a clue for you.
That's right.
You know, we were taking sex quizzes all last week on the show.
Yes, I loved it.
And we received a quiz in the mail today from, does the name Scott Breeze ring a bell with you?
No, I don't. I don't remember
Buzzy?
That. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't.
Scott Breeze is on vacation.
Ex-con?
Current con.
Oh. Current con. How about, so I did get it. He was a con.
Current convict. He's in the Washington, D.C. poke. And he has written... He used to write letters to us all the time that we would read on the radio.
We
used to have a regular prison mail segment on this show. Mm-hmm. And he writes, Dear Don and Mike, enclosed, please find my prison sex quiz.
Prison quiz.
To compliment the quizzes you guys took last week. Everybody here at the Central Treatment Facility awaits your individual scores. Sincerely, your friend Scott Breeze. P.S. Any news from The Hobbit?
Ah, The Hobbit, yes. He used to write almost every week when The Hobbit was here.
We had an intern, a milky white intern, who used to look like Bob's big boy.
Right.
We nicknamed him The Hobbit. Mm-hmm. And all these guys in prison, they loved this boy.
Yeah, he really looked like, at one point you said Bob's big boy, too, and he was one of the smarter guys that's ever been an intern here, but he was a strange lad.
Do you remember? Well, two things about The Hobbit. First, we really dressed him up in a Bob's Big Boy suit.
We sent him out on the street. You know, I nicknamed him The Hobbit, and then Don gave him the nickname of Bob's Big Boy. And when we put him in the outfit, I swear to God.
Dead ringer.
I laughed so hard.
It's true.
He looked exactly like Bob's Big Boy.
And the other thing that was funny is when we'd go out with this kid.
Right.
He would make us promise that we wouldn't say on the radio that he was smoking cigarettes.
And he chain smoked.
Because he didn't want his dad to find out, because his dad was paying for him to go to college. And his dad would have pulled the money back if he knew that the kid was smoking.
Oh, he was funny. He really was. And, you know, he came back to visit one time, and then we haven't heard from him since.
Yeah. That's how it always goes, Mike.
Of course it is. They move on with their lives.
Prison sex quiz, written from a guy in jail.
Okay.
Answer the following questions and tabulate your score by using the scale at the end of the quiz. For best results, be frank and honest in your answers. Complete the entire quiz as quickly as you can. Take your clothes off and meet us in the showers.
Oh, God.
The writers and producers of the D.C. Prison Sex Quiz accept no responsibility for injuries to the tasty if he doesn't hurry up and get his bitch ass into the shower.
This could be rough. This quiz could be very rough.
Sounds like
Question
it.
One.
Should we actually write them down and answer them here?
I guess.
Okay.
Have you ever participated in a hot interracial gang rape?
Oh, dear.
I'm just reading the question.
You know, I was going to take the... Well, I'll continue to take the show.
Okay. Let me see. Have you ever fantasized about your co-defendant?
Okay.
Have you ever fantasized about your co-defendant not being able to make bail and going over to his place to console his lovely, lustful... biker mama girlfriend who you convinced that she needs to get on with her life and that if he really loved her, he wouldn't have gotten locked up again.
I don't need to finish this quiz. This is for prisoners.
Have you ever had sex while you or your partner was handcuffed and shackled to his bunk by the guards? Have you ever had sex during a U.S. Marshal Service airlift? How many times do you use a condom before converting it into other uses? Such as swallowing contraband.
Oh, my God.
Do you consider duct taping a sock in your partner's mouth to be a valid form of foreplay? If you are 6'5", 375, with numerous tattoos, score 5 immediate points.
Oh, God.
If you are 125, 5'4", with long blonde hair, subtract 10 points. Would you willingly have sex with someone of your own gender?
Oh, my.
Would you willingly have sex with someone of your own gender if your partner and 5 of his friends came to your cell with 12-inch shanks and ice picks?
Wow.
A little peek at life behind the prison wall.
Yes, scary stuff here.
How would you feel about your masculinity if everyone started calling you Cindy?
This guy's funny, I'm sorry.
Would it bother you to wear a dress? How about Daisy Dukes? How about dressy shorts?
Dressy shorts.
Have you ever had a sexual fantasy about your mother? You sick effing pervert. Are you incarcerated for acting on that fantasy, you sick effing pervert?
Oh, God.
Do you look like Charlie Stossel? If Jeffrey Dahmer was your cellmate and he started buying lots of ketchup, would you sleep well at night?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, bonus question. Aren't you the guy that was on landscaping detail and slobbed off the warden's daughter out by the South Guard Tower?
Oh, man!
And then they actually assign point value to each question. Because he's in jail and he's got time on his hands.
Of course he does.
And if you scored
Over 150, your definite jocker material.
Jocker.
Don't know what that means.
Must be prison talk.
145 to 100, buy a shank.
That's a knife.
Right. 95 to 50, buy protection from a jocker.
That
must be a tough guy.
That's why you subtract the points, because, you know, you're more likely to be the object of favors.
Right. 50 to 0, request protective custody. 0 to minus 60, hang yourself immediately in your cell.
There you go. There's the prison sex quiz.
I enjoyed it. I'll be honest with you.
We very rarely take material from outside sources,
keep
it coming.
I love the clothing segment.
Keep it coming.
Daisy Duke.
We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. One day your woman left early. You had the whole house to yourself. Let me get a little jerk before work. So you in the house get your jerk on. Nice, good jerk, too. You know that? Ain't nobody in the house jerk. That's a good jerk. It ain't like that. Somebody in the next room jerk. That's a bad jerk. That's like, who there? I don't like that jerk. I'm talking about the good jerk. That nobody ain't home jerk. So you get the Vaseline ready.
The truth.
Yes, he does.
He truly does. Here's a local time check if you live in Wichita, Kansas.
Thank you.
4:45. And we are on KFH.
True, true.
Wichita, Kansas.
They're just men, flesh and bone. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, we'll be in Wichita on March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day for the Las Vegas-style show. We start Monday in New York. I'll just announce this again very quickly in case you missed the announcement.
Yes.
Big giant picture of us in the New York Post today on page 75. Totally false story about us, but it's okay.
Yep.
Because it's publicity in New York, and we do start Monday on WNEW-FM in the nation's largest city.
Very excited about it.
And the reason I bring this up is twofold. So that first, you'll tell your friends who live in the New York metro area that they can hear us every night. And second, the good news for everybody who listens to this show every day,
mm-hmm,
is that we have amended the original thought that we would be offering some tape delay shows. We will not be doing that.
No, you're going to hear this show live every day at the same time spot.
Yeah, we will be going to New York 2 days a week,
mm-hmm,
to do the show from the studios of WNEW, but that show that we do from New York will be live,
right,
to all of the 55 stations that carry this show now, meaning that the only city where the show will be tape delayed will be New York City.
That's right, and we will be up there, although we will be in New York. We will be broadcasting the show live to all of our affiliates at the same time, and that is good news.
Because, frankly, somebody finally said to me, well, why would you go up to New York 2 days a week to do a show live for New York when New York's done nothing for you guys, when all these other cities have supported the show?
Yes.
Why would you not do it the other way around? And suddenly the light bulb, you know, went off, and I said, that's an excellent point.
And the good news is, being, there 2 days a week in NYC, we will have interesting new folks to meet and new guests on the show and lots of celebs that come through the Big Apple, so you can look forward to that. But other than that,
same show.
Same show, nothing changed.
Same crap. And we'll still be able to take your live phone calls from all over America and tell you firsthand how absolutely worthless our lives are.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be heard every night 7 to 11:30 in New York City on 102.7 FM. That starts on Monday. And as I mentioned, just a hideous picture of us in the New York Post today.
Yep.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is April.
Yes, hello, April.
Hi. Don and Mike, I listen to your show on the way coming home from work every day.
I want to guess something right now. I'm going to guess you're calling from Baltimore.
Yes, I am.
Right on. It was the way she said home. When I'm on my way home.
I don't talk like that. I guess I do. I don't think I do. I don't have the big hair, though.
I don't talk like that.
I don't go down the ocean. I think that's how it's said. But very basically,
can you say one thing for me?
Excuse me?
Can you say one thing for me?
Sure.
Say, listening to Don and Mike is a turn-on.
Listening to Don and Mike is a very nice turn-on for me.
On.
Yeah, she low pedaled it, but
She still said on.
But I'm from Maryland.
I know you. What can we do for you?
I have a desperate plight that I am at a loss To be very brief to the point, I had a gray cheek parakeet, which is a breed of parakeet.
Yeah.
It died 2 weeks ago this Friday the 9th, the 11th, whatever that day was. I had another bird, also same breed. They have been together 9 years.
The other really?
Yes. The other one now screams incessantly. I have gotten on the internet. I have friends, relatives, coworkers.
And you're looking for a solution.
Cannot find another bird.
I have a solution.
Please don't tell me to put a mirror in the cage.
No. What you need to do is you need to euthanize the other parent.
That is so bad.
Yeah, I mean, really.
It does not turn me on.
It obviously doesn't want to live.
We never get a chance to play our hawk screech sound effect.
No, I do leave JFK, which that's the station that I'm listening to
right.
You guys on, naturally.
I got two words for fried food.
Yes.
When you think about that
squab.
Bird, yes, fry it up.
You guys are so cold.
Fry up that remaining bird.
But I'm at a.
Do you own a cat?
No.
Because if you had a cat, you could open the cage and have your own Sylvester and Tweety cartoon.
No, but these do not look like a typical miniature parakeet. They are about the size of a lovebird.
Honey, estimate, how many bites do you think it would take to eat this bird? Two bites? Or is it a three-biter?
Oh, no. He's about, how big do you bite?
Well, medium-sized bites.
I'd say, God, this is cruel. About... Four bites.
Four, so he's a four-bite bird. Is that with the head or without the head?
Oh. That's with the head.
What are you pulling out of the Osborne?
Yeah. Ooh, this is terrible.
That's good bird.
I can't find this bird anywhere. I've called every single pet shop.
Well, then why don't you buy some rat poison?
You guys are so bad.
Just buy some rat poison and put it in the bird's food.
Whole bird. I told him how to poop on command, and we're still working with him.
Are you familiar with the wonderful financial opportunities in Crush videos?
No.
Are you familiar with what Crush videos are?
No.
Guys pay big, big money for
them. Okay, do you have good legs?
Yes.
You got a nice-looking pair of pumps?
Yeah.
Some high heels?
Yeah.
Okay, get yourself some fishnet stockings.
There you go. The fishnets are imperative.
Yes. Get yourself a pair of red pumps. What you want to do is get your husband to take a very up-close video of you crushing the bird. That's a crush video.
It's very quick for the bird, too.
You guys.
And guys get off on those tapes.
They really do. Oh, you know what? No, that's not going to work. I think they made them illegal.
Yes, actually. Well, I know that there's a black market
for
them.
That's right, there is a black market.
She can certainly go down to the block in Baltimore and peddle her crush tapes.
Yeah, maybe go to a weekend flea market.
You guys are so bad.
All right, now I think we've given you four or five viable options.
All of the options are revolving around the same theme. You must euthanize the bird.
We don't want to. We are looking for someone who has, it can be an imperfect, it doesn't have to be a perfect bird. I don't want to be a breeder.
Wait a minute. You know what I forgot?
What?
Taxidermy. The bird will be with you like Trigger was with Roy Rogers.
Right. Forever.
You stuff the bird.
Correct.
Just inject an air bubble into it and then stuff it.
Stop it.
Honey, how many viable options have we given you? Eat it. Give it rat poison.
Feed it uncooked rice.
None that
stuff
I would
it.
Like. Would you like to...
Use it in a crush video.
Pet?
What?
Would you want to euthanize your pet? No.
Yes. Yes, I would, frankly. My dogs are awful.
Well, this is a bird, and he's not a typical...
I'd like to be the Dr. Kevorkian of animals.
Well, you'd make it painless.
Somebody in the area. I can leave you guys.
Honey, you should call like WBAL or some radio station for ladies with blue hair, because it's really not our bag, baby.
But we've offered some very interesting solutions.
Okay.
Because we're the answer men.
Okay.
Tie a string around it. Take it out for a fly.
Oh, that would be cool. I bet that's something you'd probably really do. Tie it some twine to its leg and fly it around the neighborhood. Give it to a child as a toy.
He bites.
He bites?
He bites. Although then, for goodness sakes, kill it.
What is that sound?
Hey, listen. Do you have a blender?
Oh, God. Bird-o-matic. Bird-o-matic.
I don't know how many great solutions we've given you.
If you add just a little milk, you don't even taste the feathers.
Oh!
Good source of protein. Fantastic.
This tastes like bird.
Man, that is good. That's delicious bird.
Well, I thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling Don and Mike Show, the listener's friend.
You're welcome.
Right here.
Let us know how it turns out.
I'm not eating this bird or killing it or euthanizing it.
Well, then you're going to have that problem. That bird will never be happy.
Right.
Thank you.
Another bird. You know, if you put another bird in that cage, it'll probably kill it.
You're not supposed to put them together after 30 days.
Honey, oh, just listen to this sound. This is the sound I want to hear when you hang up the phone. Who's cooking bird?
You guys are so bad. It's cool, but you're making me laugh, but it's cool.
Oh, Mom, are you making bird tonight?
Feathers and all, honey. Dig in.
Oh, Mom, great bird. What's the beak?
And I help.
I do.
I help.
Have an excellent night, guys.
Oh, Mom, can I have an eyeball?
God. I'm
going to
be sick.
Oh, can I lick the talons?
Oh, the talons. You got them last time. They're fantastic. It's great. You can pick your teeth before you eat them.
Guys.
Guys.
Oh, I...
Guys.
Bird.
We'll have an excellent night.
It's what's for dinner.
That someone could help us in this predicament.
Honey, and I told you, really, call one of those other radio stations that pretend that they care about people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that they really, it's right up their alley.
Okay.
It's just, it's really not our bag.
That's fine.
We're not so much into helping people.
And, you know, there are many creative ways to take care of your problem. Don't discount the releasing the bird immediately under the ceiling fan on high speed. That's big
time. I don't know how many different options we've given you.
Okay.
Moment of ecstasy with a bird, bingo. End of story.
Put the bird in your tailpipe.
He's small.
Seriously.
Launch the bird.
Yeah, or do a Robert Young. Put the bird in the tailpipe,
right.
Get some duct tape, cover over the end, then turn on the engine.
It's a nice, gentle way to take care of the bird.
Right.
He's just looking at the radio.
The bird is?
Yes.
Is the bird listening to this?
Yes, he is.
Oh my God. Oh, look out.
Then I would urge you to immediately go to your car and put him in the tailpipe. Use him like a potato gun. You know, so that as soon as you start the car, boom! Boom, out goes the bird. Your problem is taken care of.
And if the bird survives the explosion, he's free.
Yeah. That's Turn it into a game of chance.
Absolutely.
Let the bird win his freedom.
Mm-hmm. Guys, be nice, be nice, be nice.
We're being nice. We're giving you lots of solutions here.
Guys. I mean, what did you think we would say? Oh, Dallas, so this is a sweet lady. Let's open up our phone lines right now and see if anybody has a bird.
I did not.
Honey, no one would listen to that on the radio.
Lovely
please.
Lady from Baltimore looking for a little Paul Walton gray-faced puffy parakeet.
You know what you should do? You really should, like, go down to the Safeway and put something up on the bulletin board at the grocery store.
There you go.
That's where you get response for crap like
that. You know how I really feel about that? Does the
We've
bird...
We've on the internet, and we still can't find one.
Would the bird survive if you set it free?
No, it would not.
It would. Now, how do you know that?
How do you know?
How do you say that so quickly? What if it was just a particularly clever parakeet, and it happened to, like, do battle with the Blue Jays and the Robins?
Not a chance.
How do you know the bird couldn't make it?
I know that parakeets and parrots and all those kinds of birds are not indigenous to this climate and would die of exposure, especially this time of year.
He had the answer.
He's
a pet dude. Buzz is a pet guy.
Thank you, Buzz.
Well, Buzz, Mr. Helpful. Mr. Helper.
Sorry.
Why don't you take this bird off this lady's hands then?
Well, she's not looking for somebody to take this bird.
Set it free in like an MCI center.
Yeah.
In a major auditorium.
Go down to the Baltimore Arena, let it go.
Absolutely. They probably figure out that they can, you know, live off crumbs,
popcorn,
pieces of hot dog.
Sure.
I'll go and I'll do that.
Okay, listen. Can he perch on a lit firecracker? I'm just trying to come up with creative ways for you.
Yeah, that get you know, and that's the cruelest of all because then it gets rid of its little talons and it still flies around. No ability to land.
Yes. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Have an excellent night, and you still do. Make my ride.
Okay, honey, listen, for the last time, eat that bird, okay?
I certainly
do yourself a favor. Make yourself a nice bird sandwich tonight.
We're so glad we could help.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Don and Mike, your community chess station.
Or take acrylic paint and turn it into the Baltimore Oriole.
There you go.
It's not parakeet anymore. It's an Oriole.
We care about our community.
And then you could actually glue it to your hat.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello there.
How you doing, guys?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, guys, you know, we're talking about the Sports Illustrated and all that, and you brought up the Victoria's Secret.
Yes.
I got one of those wives that Victoria's Secret's about the closest I can come to Playboy in my house. I'm quite a wimp, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Oh, good.
But got a bill today from them. They want to start charging for their catalog.
That sucks. That is a news story that was out a while ago, and I won't pay for it. They want like $2 a catalog or some ridiculous amount.
It's such total crap.
I have a prediction. Don't pay it, and the catalogs will keep coming. That's my prediction.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Not only did they send me one bill, but they sent me two. And they charged it to my credit card that they had gotten on a previous order.
Oh, that sounds mighty illegal to me.
That's horrible.
I mean, unless,
did your wife sign up for it and not tell you?
No, she's the one who called me about it.
You mean they take your credit card information, like if your wife ordered some panties, and then they go ahead and just assume you want the catalog and charge you for it?
Exactly.
That's 100% illegal.
Yeah, I know. We're called them, and they give you a number where you can call and cancel.
All right, so I'm going to give you a name. This guy's name is Donald Ephraim.
Uh-huh.
He's one of the finest trial lawyers in America.
That's right. And it's an area of his specialty because he actually wears women's underwear.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Donald Ephraim is wearing women's underwear.
I love Don and Mike Show. Or just call him at his office, 1-800-I'm-in-Egypt. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Call him at 1-800-SHRINKS.
How are you doing today?
Hi.
Okay, I just was wondering, when in New York, you're going to be taping it one day, and then we are going to hear it the next day?
No. What station are you listening to? I just explained this.
WJFK.
No, it's going to be live every day. No tape. Okay. The only tape will be the tape of that day's show, which will be replayed that night in New York City.
So New York City will be the only station that will be getting a tape delay program.
So New York City won't be hearing you till hours later.
Right. Right.
You're going to be calling them through a time machine?
Oh, he was trying to make a time machine, Joe.
Oh, I get it.
I got you.
Here we were all serious and stuff. At least he didn't say Joe Mama.
Thank you.
Okay. He wanted to.
J.J. McKay back up.
Great date.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Randy.
Hey, Don, I was wondering, would you like Sports Illustrated if you with the girls were kissing?
Would I like? Yes,
uh-huh. Big time.
Yes, if the girls were kissing, they would not have to be naked.
Mm-hmm.
If you had all of those models kissing, that would make the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue worth all of the hype.
That's right.
But as it is right now, you can get your nut off in a Sears Roebuck catalog just as easy as you can with a Sports Illustrated issue.
You would allow the fact that the Sports Illustrated issue would be better than the catalog, though. As far if you were doing that,
I don't know. I've seen some hot girls in the Sears Roebuck catalog.
Yeah, back when, I mean, there was a day.
Hey, all right, I'll let you go.
Hey, I'll tell you something. You want to hear something really pathetic? When I was a boy, I pleasured myself to a Sears catalog.
Did you really?
I swear to God I did.
I may have pleasured myself to National Geographic.
When the bras, when we'd get the Sears winter catalog, the toy catalog, which used to be a big deal, they would have a whole section of girls in bras, and I would just take it and go in my room and go to town.
That is a really quaint image.
Young John Geronimo.
Just, you know, white picket fences. You know, a lovely little house in suburbia back in the good old days, and you upstairs on the second floor with the Sears catalog.
I had no other pornography. That's the closest thing I had to porno.
How old were you when you were doing that? I mean, I'm sure.
17, 18. No, I don't know. Maybe like 11 or 12.
See, that's what I thought. See, a guy like you would gain access to pornography at a very young age.
Hello.
Nipple.
Oh, come on.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello.
Yes, hi. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm a great listener. I've been listening to you since the ABA, and I'm so nervous. I'm a first-time caller.
Don't be nervous. Where are you from, baby?
I'm in Gettysburg, Maryland.
No, but what country are you from?
I'm originally from Russia.
Russia? You got a mustache?
No, I don't.
Are you one of those hot Russian babes like on Tony Soprano's show?
Not really, but I don't look too bad.
I'm
on my way home driving, and I have a 5-year-old son. He loves you too, guys.
You drive one of those Russian cars, like a clown car?
No, I'm actually driving Mercury Sable.
Did you come to this?
I have a 5-year-old son. He loves you guys.
Did you come to this country based on one of those ads in the back of the magazine?
I don't think so. I've been here almost 20 years.
Oh, okay. So did you escape?
No.
Well, when you made it out, Russia was a bad place, right?
I know. I love you guys. I can't believe I'm talking to you. I'm so nervous.
Well, it was 20 years ago. Didn't you have to escape?
No, I don't think so. I have a family here. No, I don't think so.
How did you get out? How did you get out of Russia?
Well, you have to have a family here. So, and they support you, know.
And they just let you out?
That's right.
No, come on. You couldn't. Back 20 years ago, you just couldn't open the door and leave Russia.
Yeah, you have a family. family here. You'd be able to come.
Really?
Yes, that's right.
So there were same.
I have a family here.
You're not a spy, are you?
Pardon me?
Are you a spy?
No, I don't think so.
Do you have any facial hair?
No, I don't think so. No.
Do you have your hair pulled up in a scarf right now? You know that Russian look? You know the look I'm talking about?
I know
about?
Mm-hmm. With kind of like the overall dress, the red line look.
Yeah.
It's called a babushka.
A babushka.
Is it possible my 5 years old would like to say hi to you?
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Thank you. Hold on a second. Can you say hi to
all right, let's
Mike?
Talk to the Russian boy.
Hold on a second.
Hi, Don Mike.
Hey, how you?
Yeah.
5 years old.
Hello. Russian boy? Hello. Hello, little Ruski.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. There we go.
Hi.
Okay, that was
he's a little bit. He's a little bit nervous. He loves you guys.
Oh, that's very nice.
What's his name?
His name is Keith.
That's a nice American name. Way to go.
Well, that's one.
Yes, I'm right here. I'm so excited.
That's great. You give boy a good name.
Thank you. He told me to tell you he's in kindergarten. He loves you guys.
Beautiful. Oh. Can you say something in Russian to us?
I'm a boy. Я люблю тебя. It means I love you.
Далама лучи ю.
Я люблю тебя. It means I love you guys. You're the greatest. I've been listening to you for 15 years, probably.
Блала лучи ла, right back to you.
Right on. Thank you, baby.
Thank you. You're the greatest.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Bye, babushka.
Love you.
No, love you more.
I love you.
No, love you.
You didn't ask me what I look like.
I know what you look like.
I don't think
you
so.
You look like Ed Asner.
No, I don't think so.
Do you have forearms like Robin Williams?
I don't think so.
All right, who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
I'm kind of close between Winona Ryder and Bette Midler.
I bet closer to Bette Midler.
There you go. That makes sense.
Right. Bette Midler is recognized, like, as the most beautiful woman in the world in Russia, right. Isn't she? She's held up to a higher standard.
I know. Can I say something to you? It's a little bit off the record, kind of.
Sure, off the record, absolutely.
Not off the record, kind of a little bit off the wall. I have a 5 years old son. I try not to talk too loud, but talking about the sex part, can I say it on the air?
What would you like to say about sex? Go ahead.
You always talked about that you don't like the anal part.
Yes. No, I don't.
Uh-huh. I think this is the greatest thing in the world.
Well, no doubt. You're Russian.
Well, wait a minute. You think that the fact that he says he doesn't like it is the greatest thing, or you think
he loves it?
I personally experience it, and it's the greatest thing you've ever seen.
She loves it in the bad place.
There you go.
Look at that.
I wonder if that's a Russian thing.
Sure it is.
No, it's not Russian. Actually, with my first husband, I never experienced only with this one.
Stalin
did
it all the time.
The greatest thing you can experience. No. I just want to let you know.
Russian women love it in the butt.
You never know until you try it.
All the Russian leaders did it. Stalin, Brezhnev, Yuri Andropov, Yeltsin.
Gorbachev. Gorbachev used a Ben Raiso.
Honey, you'll love it this way. This be supreme best way of sex.
No, you're very wrong about that. If you're going to live in my country, you got to know this. Anal sex is bad. That is where you're
going. Now, I'm not sure I like the child being there while we're talking about this.
Well, mommy brought it up.
Yeah, keep it. Now, you shouldn't be talking about that in front of your 5-year old.
Oh, she's in the back. She's not listening to this. And I will let you know, I love your wife, Frida. I mean, she's the greatest.
Well, thanks. I never gave her up the butt. I'll tell you that.
Well, you never know until you try it. You never know.
Honey.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right,
I love
thank you.
You.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That was the nugget she had to throw in.
That's right.
That she likes anal sex.
Hey, can I tell you something off record? Totally, you know, not for the rest of the world. You talk about not liking anal. It's greatest thing in world. Greatest thing.
Meanwhile, the kid was saying, tell him I'm a boy.
I didn't understand that. Hopefully he was in the back of the 1945 station.
Hello, Ed.
Yes, this is Ed.
Yes, Ed.
Hey, put that parakeet in the microwave and turn it on high.
Should have thought of that one, Ed.
Way to go, Ed, you super sadist, waiting all this time. You're
thank
a little
you.
Behind, though.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye. Eat that parakeet, then enjoy some nice Russian anal. That's a perfect evening. Thank you, Ed.
Alrighty.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye. See you later. We'll be back. Oh, listen. Got a story about Wacky Regis coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show.
Hagerstown, Maryland. Hello.
Hi,
Hi, thanks, Larry. This is for Senator Bob Dole.
Go.
Yes. Don and Mike Arner, you're coming out on the erectile...
Okay, I think that was a gag call, so I cut it because they mentioned two local disc jockeys.
What?
Oh.
Can you imagine winning $10,000 on the radio? Well, she did it, and you can too. Secret Celebrity Lab.
Oh my gosh, I'm shaking.
Only on the Don and Mike Show.
That's the right order. Let's see who got it right. And in the fastest time, Ted Patchell. Ted, how are you?
That little yelp he gives out.
Congratulations. We have five people from New Jersey in the fastest finger, and you're one of them from Somerdale, New Jersey. What do you do?
Computer catalog salesperson. I take orders over the phone.
What did you do last night, Ted?
Actually, I stayed in and watched ABC.
All right. Your partner Thomas is up there. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hi, Regis.
Nice to see you. What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes.
All right, fine. All right, good.
Ladies, open up those meat curtains for the stars of our show, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, so every once in a while there's a story like this in the tabloids.
Hi, how are you?
Not Regis.
This is a good one.
Regis won't take no for his final answer.
Come on now, you're cute.
Watch out, girls. You may get a lot more than a truckload of dough if you appear on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You could wind up with Regis himself.
Hi, how are you?
And you know, this has to kill him, because he's on the cover of every goddamn magazine and newspaper.
Right.
And at first glance, when you look at the new issue of The Star, where we got this from, it's the standard picture of him fanning out the wad of money.
No, the same picture they've used in every ad for that show from here to eternity.
Except instead of the headline being, How to Win on Millionaire or Regis's Secrets, the headline is, Regis's Other Women Confess. He was kissing and groping me.
God, you're cute. Do you like being on the show? Can I put my tongue in your ear?
So listen, you know what's happening
right here.
You could wind up with Regis himself. The popular game show host, who's been married to wife Joy for 30 years, has a habit of hitting on his unsuspecting fans.
He doesn't have a hobbit.
And Romeo Regis won't take no as his final answer. Marilyn Walsh knows firsthand how determined Regis can be when he wants something, and she says she can't bear to look at him since their brief encounter. Now, the only reason I even give this story any credence at all is that it has the woman's name and a picture of her.
Yeah, there we go.
Because if this is not true, you know, Regis calls his lawyers,
sure,
and they immediately sue.
Right.
Okay, and she is not an unattractive woman. She's not a hot woman.
And there was a story about Regis a few years back, you know, about Regis and somebody.
In the elevator.
In the elevator. Right. I mean,
God, you're cute.
Hi, how are you? Okay, so this is the lady. She's talking about herself, and she put a picture and her name in the new Star.
Now, was she on the show?
Well, let's hear it.
Okay.
Marilyn Walsh knows firsthand how determined Regis can be when he wants something. I haven't watched a single episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, she says. Marilyn, a Long Island, New York mother of two, was in the audience at Live with Regis and Kathy Lee when Regis targeted her on his own wedding anniversary. She says the come-ons began when he sat by her in the audience and stroked her hair. During each commercial break, he would make a beeline for her. Sometimes he'd crouch down next to me. Other times he would plop himself down on my lap. He licked his finger and stuck it in my ear. It was pretty gross, the kind of juvenile thing an adolescent does when he's got a crush on a girl.
Now, I'm also thinking, if he's doing this while she's in a studio audience, that there are going to be, 10 or 20 witnesses that are right around watching this happen.
At least. He even hand-fed her carrots and celery sticks. And Marilyn says Regis continued his lecherous ways after the show ended.
Yeah, stick around.
I was waiting for an autograph, she says. Everyone else was gone. All of a sudden, Reg grabbed me and pulled me towards him and tried to kiss me on the mouth.
Come here. Hey, you want another carrot stick?
I was stunned.
You want another wet willy?
I turned my head to the side quickly, and his lips landed on my cheek. He pulled me closer and whispered in my ear, meet me in my dressing room in 5 minutes.
Meet me in my dressing room. I'm turgid.
I told him I don't think so, and I ran away. Marilyn ran straight to her husband Bob's office to tell him what happened. What makes me angry was that he did all of that after I told him I was married with children.
So that's her story.
Can you be in my dressing room in 5 minutes? I'll be sucking my fingers.
Another woman who asked to be identified as Susan was a guest on the show with coworkers. As she was leaving, she says Regis grabbed her tightly by the hand and dragged her to the elevator.
Loves making love on an elevator.
I didn't want to go, she says. He lured me up there saying he wanted to show me his office and give me a signed photo of himself.
Come on up to the office. This is great. Could I stick my finger in your ear after I put it in my mouth?
And there, he closed the door and pushed her up against the wall.
Mm.
He was all over me, kissing and groping.
Well, this is better than the elevator.
I was in shock. I couldn't move.
Oh, God.
Finally, I pushed him away, and he sat down at his desk.
Carrot stick?
He asked her for her number and wouldn't let her leave until he got it, so she gave him her work number.
Thanks, I'll call you.
As soon as I got back to my office, there was a message from him.
Regis Philbin from ABC Television's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Hi, this is Regis. I really enjoyed meeting you. He called me twice a day for 4 months. He would talk for about an hour about his family, about how he loved massages.
Yum, and send her a bunch of carrots.
Sometimes he'd be sexually explicit.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, know what I do?
He said he'd like to make me into a dessert, a banana split.
Mm.
Cover me with strawberries and whipped cream and eat me.
Ah, yeah.
Oh. Oh, I want to eat you.
I sure do.
I want to turn you into a banana split and I want to eat you.
A banana split with nuts.
She finally agreed to have dinner with him. That night, he poured his heart out to her, saying his wife was very busy. And he was very lonely.
Joy's off doing her show Haven, and I really get so frustrated. I don't want to talk here. Can we go to the elevator?
When he told her she couldn't stay the weekend because his wife was coming in, she realized he wanted more than friendship, and she turned him down.
I want more than friendship. I want to do you.
He never called again. A third woman says Regis's advances ruined her marriage. She asked to be identified, so Star is using the name Mary. Now, Rob, is this the one that we heard before?
I think
the last story. This might be the one. Tell me if this one sounds familiar. I think it's funny. He puts himself out there as this all-American family man, but I know what he's really like. Mary met Regis at a fan event she attended with her husband. Regis was so smitten by the 25-year-old, he asked she and her husband out for drinks.
Would you like to come out with me and have a couple of cocktails and some carrots?
Then he slipped his hand on her leg under the table, she says. When her unsuspecting husband left for a moment, Regis walked her to the elevator. Regis pushed the button and the door opened and we both sort of fell into it. He kept telling me I was cute. Oh, God. We've heard this one before.
You are so
Tell
cute.
It again.
Now listen, relax. I'm going to put my finger in your ear.
We embraced and kissed a few times on the lips. Regis kept saying, you're so cute.
God, you are cute. You're turbo cute.
He gave her his number, and when she didn't call, he phoned her. He said, I want you to know how pretty you are. I love your lips.
Oh, God.
Then he said, the night we met was like a scene from a movie. Our time in the elevator was very exciting. I wish I could have seen more of you.
Oh, really? I would have. I'll stop the elevator. Take your top off.
Regis, who warned her not to tell anyone, kept calling and even sent her a note. Later, he asked her to come to Las Vegas to visit him without her husband,
mm-hmm.
saying, of course, I've got to hide out wherever I am.
Visit me in my hotel suite. I've got an entire room full of carrots.
We'll do lots of room service.
This is my friend, Art Baker.
But when she realized he only wanted her there for one thing, she told him she'd confessed everything to her husband, which she hadn't.
Is that your final answer?
Regis flew into a panic.
Joy!
Oh, God.
Gelman! All we did was a little harmless kissing, for crying out loud.
It's not the end of the world, Regis said.
Now, please, don't even say that. Just deny everything. I mean, there's nothing to deny. Just don't involve me.
When she did tell her husband, he was so upset they eventually divorced.
Yeah.
My husband wanted to tell Joy Philbin so he could hurt Regis the same way he'd been hurt himself, Mary said.
Oh, Mary, that was a horrible time.
And that's the end of the story about how Regis won't take no for his final answer.
Don, I'd like to point something out.
Yes, a good story it was.
I'd like to point something out in this story.
What is that, Regis?
That entire, not one line there. No evidence of real intercourse. No, you're right.
That's right. I've hit on them, but I have not consummated the deal.
Not for lack of trying.
Well, yeah, you don't know the stories about the ones I've finished.
I mean, you groped the first woman.
Yeah.
You pushed her up against the wall.
Oh, it was marvelous.
The second woman you invited to visit you in Atlantic City.
I was lonely.
And the third woman you tried to bang in the elevator.
I like to pretend. I like to pretend. I really do. God, you're cute. Stop the elevator. I'm going to put my finger in my mouth, and then I'm going to stick it in your ear. That's foreplay. You're so cute. You're so phenomenally cute.
I want you to know how pretty you are. I love your lips.
Thanks for coming on the show. Regis Philbin from ABC TV's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I've got to hide out wherever I am. But we'll do lots of room service.
Yeah.
And my favorite part was, he said he'd like to make me into a dessert, a banana split. Cover me with strawberries and whipped cream and eat me.
I'd really like to eat you. I would indeed. I would love to. We'll get some whipped cream, some bananas, a couple of cherries, some nuts, and I'll eat you. Won't that be a bunch of fun?
Oh, Jesus.
Time for a commercial break on ABC TV's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Get me a bowl of carrots. I'm going into the audience.
Now, how does he run this by, Joy?
I don't know.
At this point, he goes, listen, this comes with being the number one television celebrity in America.
I'm the top of the heap, Joy. I don't go after these women. Don't be ridiculous.
Joy, I want you.
So, are you going to be out of town this week? Fantastic.
You remember that picture we saw of her in the tabloids a couple of weeks ago?
Oh.
Of Joy Philbin in a bathing suit?
Would you touch those pancakes?
No.
God.
No, who can blame Regis? Oh,
my goodness. I got to go home to the potato pancakes.
This is my wife, Dusty. I mean, Joy. Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
What is your lead story on the news and the comments tonight?
Tonight, and now it's time to play Who Wants to Sign an Annulment?
Oh. Right. Oh, those two crazy kids.
Moron the morons.
Ah, Buzz, you're cute.
Right. Stand by, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
How much? Reeves, that was very
professional.
The rub.
He's going to be wearing one of the appendages.
Excellent.
And that'll be in the beginning part of the show.
Good.
Also tomorrow, rescheduled from today, we're going to have the guy from Portland who claims to be best friends with the guy Buzz is going to talk about in the news.
Rick Rockwell.
You know him, the Marry a Millionaire guy.
Right.
And also tomorrow in studio, the Furniture Guys.
Yeah, you've seen them on the Learning Channel.
And
that's correct.
Tomorrow we will start our relentless pursuit of Kathy C. Gifford.
Yes.
Because she hosts the Letterman Show tomorrow night. Ay, ay, ay. What an awful, awful car wreck that's going to be. If nothing else, you'll have something to look forward to on Friday's show when we dissect the tape.
Absolutely.
But let me get this ready. Let me get this warmed up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ye old train wreck sound effect.
Who hosted last night? Was it Regis?
Cosby.
Bill Cosby. That's right.
Cosby.
Any word on how he did? I haven't watched it, and there have been no stories about big ratings. So.
Obviously, it was quite a splash.
Right.
Letterman's back on tonight.
Yes, good. And he'll be back on Friday also.
And then tomorrow night, Kathy C. Then him.
Right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. On Mike, who wants to sign an annulment? Both sides, apparently, in the Fox television Marry a Multimillionaire mess. Rick Rockwell, who came into this world, by the way, as Richard Blakey, says there was an annulment clause in the prenuptial agreement he and Darva Conger signed before the wedding.
Larva.
Pretty name. Rockwell and Conger have been making the rounds.
I love it when you're condescending, bud.
Rockwell and Conger have been making the rounds on the talk shows and news magazine, and it's not over yet. He was on Dateline last night. She'll be on 2020 tonight. On Good Morning America today, Conger said she's embarrassed by the whole thing, wishes she'd never gone on the wedding show. She says she did it as a lark for the free vacation and the chance to be on TV.
You know, the only thing that makes me believe her when she says that is when we had Michelle Babbitt on the show last week.
Right.
Remember when we, and I like to take credit for this idea, that we actually did the Who Wants to Marry a Stranger bit 2 years ago.
Right? We did indeed, and she was on with us last week, and she said she did it because she just wanted a free vacation.
And she said she'd do it again for a free vacation. And the vacation we offered was just a stinky Mexico.
Absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't an exotic location. It was Mexico.
Not that cruise, you know, with the sails and everything that they went on. Well, one thing thing the TV couple does agree on is that they never slept together. Rockwell says they did sleep in the same room the first night, but in separate beds.
Baby, like Rob and Laura Petrie.
Conger says they stayed in separate rooms and that she never spent a single moment alone with him. Also worth mentioning, by the way, is Rockwell compared selecting a bride to buying a computer.
That's right, I remember that last night.
Quoting him, check them out. Find all the features you want and make the best decision you can based on the amount of money you have. And don't look back, because the next day there's going to be another computer that is better.
I know, I say that every day in the nearly 20 years I've been married to Bree. Every day. You know, there's a better model out on the market already. You know what my wife did give me for the computer, though? You know, she's a whiz.
Yep.
And, you know, my wife is finally pulling her share of the load, and she's actually gotten a job.
Mm-hmm.
She is a whiz with computers.
It's true.
And she's now working with Daryl in his computer business.
Right.
Where she, like, goes to businesses and actually installs computer networks and stuff like that.
Right.
She found, you know, I love Post-it notes. I love my Post-it notes more than anything. I constantly write myself Post-it notes.
Right.
She found a program where I now write myself Post-it notes on the computer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't actually physically take the Post-it note. I click on the icon, and a little Post-it note comes up, and I write myself a note like, meeting on New York tomorrow 12 noon, and I hit it, and it sticks it on the screen.
And it's yellow and everything.
That's fantastic.
I've
never seen that before.
Oh, I'd love to see that program. That's a great idea.
It's good.
And you don't have the glue.
Right. Fantastic. Right.
That is great.
No glue.
Oh, man. Oh, by the way.
Oh, man. Wow.
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 I'm loopy for the Post-it notes. And we never mentioned this, but, you know, who wants to be Jay Thomas these days? Before the Marry a Multimillionaire show ever aired, Fox executives were saying they wanted out of the reality programming biz and into the business of making quality television.
Right.
Which is why Robbie Knievel jumps a train tonight, I guess. But
yeah.
Even though Fox says it'll never air the Marry a Millionaire show again, it don't think the idea is dead and gone forever. Fox's syndication division, 20th Television, is pitching a show to stations called I Do, I Don't. In Las Vegas, the producers will give compatibility tests to couples who were about to get married anyway. If the audience says yes, they can get married on the show at the end of the show. And Universal is working on Wed at First Sight. Universal nearly dropped this idea when it smelled trouble, but it's gotten more interest from local stations since the Fox experiment went haywire.
I smell trouble with a capital T.
Hey, any word on that Robbie Knievel jump tonight? Do we ever figure out?
As a matter of fact, here it is.
All right, exactly what's he going to be doing, Buzz?
I called Fox.
Good for you, Father Time.
As you mentioned earlier, there's been a change in the stunt. Instead of racing directly toward an oncoming train, Knievel will now jump the train from an angle.
Told you.
The change was
told you. I saw that. They changed it. Why, Buzz?
You aced it. It was forced by nervous railroad engineers and by local officials. Nevertheless, the state of Texas has taken out a $5 million liability policy, just in case. And all of this, of course, like the last time, weather permitted.
And you know, that's just total crap, though. I mean,
if
you're not going to jump it head on, what's the point?
No, I don't see what the attraction is with the stunt.
And when they say at an angle, it's not like at a slight angle. He's
jumping in the direction he crossways.
I told you, it's like originally he was going to be going directly at the front of the train.
Right.
Now it's going to be like if you got a ramp. If you had a bicycle and you were going fast enough, you serious? It's no big deal.
Right.
You could jump over the train.
It won't be perpendicular, I'm told. That's what I found out when I called Fox.
Okay,
it won't be a right angle. It'll be kind of at a sharper angle.
But still, not as good as coming at head on.
Still cheating. And the only reason they're doing it at that sharper angle is to make it look scarier than it really is. All for a week now, they've been promoting the fact that he's going to go motorcycling directly into an oncoming train, up a ramp, and the train would destroy the ramp. Well, none of that's going to happen now.
I told you. 3 hours ago, I gave you that scoop, and none of you guys believe me.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
Told you. Thank you.
You're the scoop.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We give you your props now.
Thank you.
You were right about that, and I'm amazed that they're going to still put it on the air.
Told you. I saw it on the CNN.
Sucks. They have an hour to fill and no wedding shows. So.
The whole story on CNN was, you know, and I'll say this, as backbiting as the radio industry is, and as much as each of these people here would sell the other out in a second to make a sale, TV's worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was the lead story on CNN. Now, keep in mind that yesterday McCain won two primaries.
Right.
You've got all this crap going on in the world.
Right.
But the lead story today at 1 o'clock on CNN was, and it was that guy Lou Waters.
I'm
Lou Waters. Big trouble for the Fox Network. And they had the Fox logo where they announced that they weren't going to be doing the Millionaire Show anymore. And
that this Texas town was shutting down the Robbie Knievel jump tonight.
I'm Lou Waters. My head's larger than my entire body.
Lou Waters!
Not to be confused with Lou Dobbs.
We've always thought that that guy should be named Lou Dobbs, but he's not.
No, Lou Dobbs is the money guy, and we wish that that guy that we wish, really, that Lou Waters was
Lou Dobbs.
Absolutely.
Lou Waters.
Lou Dobbs.
This has not been a good week for the reality shows. A stuntman has lost his life in the making of UPN's Daredevil show, I Dare You. 36-year-old Brady Michaels was preparing a stunt involving a parachute landing platform attached to the top of a stationary train.
Oh, really?
In Arizona. Now, while descending a ladder attached to the train, Michaels lost his footing and fell about 15 feet.
You know what really sucks about this?
What?
Is the fact that they won't show that now.
Right. Oh, no. No way they're going to show it. They're not even going to do the stunt that they were preparing to do when he fell.
Well, it wasn't even part of the stunt, right?
Exactly.
He was just climbing down off a train.
It was a freak accident. It had nothing really to do with the stunt itself.
I know, but I smell great ratings.
Yeah, the cameras were running, but the cameras probably weren't running on that part.
Fell 15 feet, hit his head on some rocks. Probably a real mess. So producers say it's unfortunate. They are quick to point out, and I quote, "This show has a spotless safety record."
Oh,
our condolences to his family.
Fuzzy timeout. Back with the plenty more news and comments.
I'll be all right. I'll be fine.
This is the